FMDJs, yo, it's midday, so here's your fix. Just like we're coming to consuming this chocolate check fit. Back harder than ever, going 4 hours strong. I still haven't perfected, looking like I'm working when it's on. How many unrelated observations can Rip make? Before 7 stops is asked for going over the break. And I don't even bother trying to call the show at all. Cause if my comments ain't funny, Rick will be losing my call. Never mind that they might not even answer the phone. Cause Scotty just hung over from being out drinking alone. I'm pretty glad my thoughts and Tim Riley's not in the same place. Cause we mostly work and avoid the human race. When I'm not stealing cars from in front of Rick's place, I'm an old acquaintance searcher for Sarah on my face. So put your hands together for the man and cash the check. Rick Emerson, Vicious Radio Gangsta X.
Radio Gangsta
with Tim Riley, Scotty J, and Sarah X.
Radio Gangsta.
He's the host of the post that cash the check.
Radio Gangsta
with Tim Riley, Scotty J, and Sarah X.
Radio Gangsta.
The
sheets are red and moist where I'm lying. God in heaven, teach me how to die. I remember we were flying low and it's something in the air.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Oh, I give camel to all my friends.
I just run away.
Fantastic. Oh, good God Almighty.
When I was on the Partridge Family.
Hello, it's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April of the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. Here's the thing, my voice is, it's not terrible right now.
I remember hearing you last night, though. That was not good.
Oh, it's going to sound bad again. Here's the thing. And my voice is, because I haven't spoken for about 9 hours, whenever it is that I went home and finally fell asleep, or went home anyway. What was I talking about? So my voice, it's going to be the best show ever.
How you doing?
Hello, and how are you? I'm a broadcast professional.
Between you and Scotty J, we're really going to get much done today.
We're going to talk about our friend Scotty J. We're going to talk about him, but that guy is a walking home entertainment center.
Fix his
little red wagon.
Thank you, Jesus. Whoever gave him a hug,
sure
gave him to us.
Oh, good God. Anyway, so I went home. Oh, and it's another one of those days where everything's going to be funny. Everything's going to be hilarious. So I haven't really talked since, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning. I've had a few low-key conversations this morning, most of which were conveyed with grunts. There's a whole lot of, a whole lot of Peter Boyle and Young Frankenstein. So that's given my voice just enough time to sort of recover, kind of quasi-recuperate. But that's not going to last. It's going to be like one coat of paint on a termite-ridden house. By the time 2 o'clock comes, I'm just... That's going to be it. I'm just going to sound like an incubus. All right. Why, hello there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of our program telephonically, if you would like to email us today, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. For your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you, it is rick@rickemerson.com. We'll do things, introductions all the way around here in a while. We'll do the guarantees as we'll do. Shall we just cut to the chase, Sarah Dillon? Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from a chair next to me in the studio, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Jim Ruffalo.
Good morning.
So weird to hear your voice right here. Sorry.
Freaky.
Even after being with you all night last night, it's so weird to hear your voice right here. It's freaking me out.
And we had some weird Laurel Cabezal to get him either.
No, it's true. There was one step removed. We didn't have to book anybody. We didn't have to call up. We didn't have to book. We didn't have to. That's the great thing.
I was talking to Rachel, the booking correspondent, today. I'm like, we have Jim Rupp here.
Well, the thing is, we didn't have to be like, that's what's so great is now we can just go to you on any story we covered all day. We don't have to go to
if I'm available. I might not be available today.
But see, that's what I'm saying. This is the point that Tim was making. We don't have to call up and fight like some station in Akron, Ohio to get you on today.
I never have to fight. Akron never has to fight.
No. I have a list of California stories later.
Really?
Yeah. Fantastic. Because sometimes we'll call up, and as I understand, the CNN is very busy. You guys got a lot of affiliates to deal with, a lot of news happening. And so it's frustrating. We'll call, and Rachel or Tyler or Laura, whoever, will call up and go, hey, can we get to Lisa Goddard about whatever? And it's sometimes they'll just go, no. And we'll be like, well, come on. Come on, baby. Show Rick some love. And they'll just say, Don, I'm sorry. Would you like Bob Costantini? And I love Bob Costantini. God bless him. But sometimes Bob Costantini is sort of like that substitution plate at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Where, like, we love that guy. I really do. But sometimes I'll call me, hey, can I get Lisa Goddard to come on and be really fantastic and hilarious and witty and sexy as only she can be to talk about whatever? And they'll be like, no, would you like Bob Costantini? And that's sort of like when you go to a restaurant and you say...
You mean noodles.
You go and you say, hey, can I get this, can I get this fantastic charbroiled steak? And they go, no, would you like a whole bowl of pine nuts? I mean, that's really...
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. This is going to be one of those days where they, it's just there's no filter today. I think everything's going to come out brutally honestly today. Hello. It's 503-733-2970. You're looking stylish today. You're looking awake and not at all hungover, you bastard.
You know, I went to college, and so I had a lot of practice in... I have some friends who keep me in shape, too, when it comes to that.
So. Uh-huh. So it's really you've been training your liver for...
I've been known to have a few nightcaps on a daily basis.
I was just going to say, within the last 12 hours, actually, I would imagine.
This morning. I need a little hair of the dog to get me out of bed.
Jesus God. Can I just say this? Here's...
We have a fridge full of beer, too.
I woke up and
it's cooling right now, and I got a big bottle of champagne.
You have a big bottle of champagne?
Very good.
We got four Sessions lagers, a bottle of champagne, something. I just plugged the fridge in, so those will be cold in like an hour. We want to thank the folks at Visa, by the way, for giving us a new fridge for the studio. This one not filled with rank dairy products. What was I talking about? Oh, God.
Yeah, you don't want to smell that today.
What are you talking? There's any number of things you probably don't want to smell today. anything on my body, for one. You don't want to do that. I didn't even bother to shower last night or this morning. I haven't shaved. And I know, and our friend Vanished Twin Photography is coming in later to do a photograph of all of us in the studio together. And I look worse than I've ever looked in my entire life.
Were you your picture taken today?
Well, because we'll get to why in a second. Well, I'll tell you why.
Oh, man.
Because at Listener Party 10 last night, what are you going to know? What do you want for my life? Jim doesn't live here. They tried to do it last night. And so, you know, Jason and Aaron from Vanished Twin Photography, who are, they do a lot of photography for CBS. They took that beautiful picture on the wall over there of the Hawthorne Bridge. Last night, Susan was like, hey, we want to get a photo of you guys and Jim Roop, and we'll hang in the studio and whatever. And I'm like, that's great. Let me find everybody. And by that point, you, Jim, had just vanished into the ether somewhere, I think. I don't even know where you were, dude.
I was buying drinks for half. I spent a lot of money last night buying drinks for people.
Really?
Oh, gosh. I must have spent $200 at the bar.
You're Jim Roop, though.
You know, you buy one drink for somebody and everybody else, ooh, he's buying drinks. Let's
like
go get
moths
them.
To a flame.
It was beautiful.
They all just pour in.
I was happy to do it.
That guy's buying drinks.
I was happy to do it.
Oh, Jesus. And then we were just all scattered to the four winds inside that place. Barracuda's a pretty big place. And so it was crazy. So they're going to be coming today and taking a little shot of us, which is great because my hair's all pointy and sticky, and I got stubble, and I'm all splotchy.
You don't have stubble. You could have tried.
thanks for that. I don't even really know. What would I normally be doing here, Sarah? What would my matrix is blank today?
There's nothing.
Probably be babbling about how you and Lara got into fights because you didn't want to go to the couples bowling league. Or,
thank you. Thanks so
or
much.
About some
are you in
TV
a couples
show?
Bowling league?
Not anymore. No, that ground to an end unpleasantly. I've learned
I'll
that
just look at something randomly in the studio and then it'll remind you of something else and you can go on about that for about 10 minutes.
Babble nonsensically. No, actually it actually worked out really well last night because my wife was working graveyard last night. So that actually worked really well. She didn't get to see me come home at like 2 a.m, you know, just stumbling in, just completely barely able to operate. I think I was trying to microwave something last night and that didn't really come together and the whole lot of, and then I was trying to sleep and every time I would fall asleep, my dog would jump under the bed and just sit on my stomach for some reason. It was like he knew that I was trying to rest, and he would just. So he got a new haircut, so he's all amped up about that. And he's on my dog's on some new medication too, so he's all twitchy and weird, and just a spastic little white fluff ball every time I'm trying to. And let's just go around the room real quickly here. Sarah, how much rest? How many hours of restful sleep would you say you got last night?
5, maybe.
Really? 5?
That's good.
5 hours?
That's a lot.
Oh, that's like twice what I got.
I think so. Well, because I went to a show after the party, and then I just stood there like a zombie with a beer in my hand trying to enjoy myself. Couldn't. And then, yeah, didn't get to bed until later, and then woke up really early this morning.
Jesus, totally.
Jim? How much did you get?
I'm guessing 3.
Yeah.
Because you know how alcohol is. You'll fall asleep, but you'll wake up in a half hour.
Yeah, the second you sober up.
You know, it's not even really you're sobered up. I mean, because when I switched to wine, unfortunately, at the restaurant when we went by 1 o'clock in the morning, so I'm drinking the Cabernet, and so when I got back to the hotel, and it's not a key. I mean, it's that card that you slide in.
I
had to give it the one-eye focus to get that thing going.
And you have Brad. That's always trouble.
Yeah, Brad and Clyde and some other folks.
Clyde. I'm so sorry to subject you to that. I love Clyde, but
I'm going to start counting bees now just to make sure.
Oh, see? That's the thing. Now, and it's probably too early to get into all this, but in the... Okay, who was
we
it?
We know that the day after the listener parade is just a debacle.
Who told me this? Tim, was it you that told me this? That Clyde, in the presence of the law, was going on about some government death ray that only kills black people?
Yeah. That's correct, yes.
It's not correct that exists, by the way.
Clyde was shocked before he even got on stage to introduce us.
Clyde went on the stage to introduce us last night, and it was... I'm not saying it was a bad idea. It just worked out differently than we anticipated. Because you expect something sort of very polished and focused, and instead it was a whole lot of like, woo, let's hear it first.
It's not like a stand-up with a drink minimum.
Totally. Like he was Jackie Mason on stage at the Laugh Factory.
I can't even say it. Never mind.
No,
the jokes about the...
About the gas pumping?
About the hooves?
Yeah. Wait, well, the hooves?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
He knew spring was sprung.
I can't read your lips. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was really attractive.
Yeah. Best night ever. All right. God damn. All right. Well,
hey, you were on fire last night. I was so impressed. I went, man, this guy's the king. He really is.
Well, it's
a crazy night.
It was a great night. It really was. We should say that so it doesn't just sound like misery and despair. So it doesn't just sound like it was the worst night. It was really the best night. It's the worst morning. It's the worst morning ever because it really was a great night. It was fantastic. And we've got calls. People already want to weigh in on this. And it was. We're here with Jim Roop. We're joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon. So,
hello.
So you were there, and then you and Raul went to a show or something?
Yeah, I didn't end up leaving, though, till like 11. So
yeah,
because
you were going to leave at like 10. You're like, I got to leave at 10. And
yeah.
Then like an hour and a half later, you were still there.
I know, I kept getting sidetracked. Yeah, so we went over to a show, and I feel bad because he's been really looking forward to seeing, went to see Rocky Vadalato at Dante's, and he was really excited to see it, and I just was not enthused. Not to say, I mean, I really like his music, but I was just standing there with a beer in my hand, like...
I got a voicemail. Do you remember calling my phone?
No, I saw that I called you, though.
Yeah, it was nothing. Yeah, you left me a message last night, the hell am I saying? Shut up! Shut up, Jim Roof.
There's a lot of fuzz up there. I can see it.
It's like I'm trying to clear away cobwebs off windows in a summer home. Because after everything, I was about to... Because I realized that I hadn't eaten anything yesterday. And about midnight, 1 a.m., whenever I left, I'm like...
Yeah, I called you at 12:31.
I'm like, when is the last time I ate anything? And I couldn't realize... I couldn't figure out when it was. And I had to get something. And so on the way to my house, there's that, you know, that hotcake house that's on between here and my home. So Joni and I
I don't know, what, a couple of the guys from the band, from Emerson Starship went there and whatever. And by the way, it's probably a bad indication when orange juice creates a fiery burning sensation in your throat.
Oh, man.
I'm like, can I have some orange juice, please? You know, because I don't cure everything. So I have a big glass of orange juice. Man, I take a huge gulp of that orange juice, and it was like I'd swallowed molten lava. Just my throat, it was just, you know. And so, but I get up to the car to go home later, and I check my phone, and Sarah has called me. And your message was something like,
I'm standing outside Dante's, and I'm just calling because I'm standing out on the sidewalk. And, okay.
And then
oh,
you hung
I remember.
That was
just,
really it.
I just needed some air. That's what happened, because I was just in there with all these people, and I'm like, I've got to get out. So I remember sitting outside of Dante's by myself with a beer.
Yeah. Good times.
Like, just needing some air.
All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, since Jim Roop is here, he's missing out on several California stories, including the man who sets himself on fire inside the Long Beach City Hall.
Well done.
The city of La Quinta is having a catfish derby, and it is raining in Southern California for the first time, and not here.
Excellent.
Otherwise, some of the other things we're following. You're a thoughtless little pig, says Alex Baldwin to his 11-year-old daughter. Some disagree. A Kansas man in trouble for spanking his child with a computer cable. Olympia College students are upset of the hiring of strippers at a local club. And to the surprise of no one, an Everett man is arrested for a Gresham Trailer Park murder.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at trailer
park
murder.
Who else would be in a Gresham Trailer Park? It was probably like a summer holiday for him to come down from Everett and go to Gresham.
Phyllis, load up the Airstream. The Simpsons are going to Gresham. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Bob Costantini is going to be, speaking of pine nuts, Bob Costantini is going to be joining us later on today. Why do they even... Seriously, why do they even put Lisa's name on here? They have no intention of letting us talk to her.
You always yell at me like I know. I don't know.
I'm yelling at the universe.
She's working on what?
Well, she was talking about Iraq. I guess she's probably in transit from Virginia still. That would be my guess. But anyway.
There are cell phones.
I suppose. We called and they said, we kind of short-circuited their brains, though. We called and specifically asked for noodles. We said, because they said, well, there's no Lisa Gardner. We go, how about noodles? Which kind of throws them because that's a nickname that I don't think they know we know. All right. We'll also talk to CNN radio correspondent Steve Katzenbaum from New York City. God, Scott Daly, who was last seen vomiting in a corner last night, by the way.
And he's a big guy.
He's a large man.
Yeah, he is.
That vomit's got a long way to travel before it hits the floor.
I guess he was also seen being removed from...
was he asked to leave the establishment?
Rumor mill goes that I guess he was kicked out.
Fantastic.
And he's supposed to be in today, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how that bank job's working out today. Okay.
No, Scotty said he took the day off.
Really? Uh-huh. I'm amazed. All right. I'm going to make notes about other things we got to talk about. And we'll take a lot of your phone calls today. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. 503-733-2970. I'm not even going to pretend that I have any order in which we're going to do things today. Because seriously, it would just be a fib. It would be a fib. I did read a MySpace comment this morning. That's how I knew about Scott Daly. Somebody said, best site ever? And this is the phrase they use. Scott Daly recycling his beer.
That is too bad.
It was Scott Daly recycling his beer in a corner. And I knew instinctively what that meant. And I can totally picture it, too. I can picture that big 9-foot guy just in a corner of Barracuda. Jesus. Fantastic. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
I only saw him once. I'm pissed that I didn't get to see him in his, like, drunken stupor.
He was lurking over by the DJ booth most of the night for reasons unknown to me. I'm not really sure that was.
Now you want to get closer to Scott and Jay.
Don't we all?
Well, they were recording a Film Fever Radio.
Right,
episode.
They were recording some Film Fever Radio stuff live last night.
Then they were talking to Jim Roop on the stairway.
Oh, that's the guy, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's impossible. I mean, or no, it's possible. Whatever. Pick one of them. Where those words is right. It's possible there was the guy in the stairwell. At a certain point, and it's not like we're players or you know, like the high-profile celebs or something, but, I mean, there's like a little backstage area. So you could go, and if we needed to go back and get ready for something or prepare for something or if the band needed to tune up or whatever, there's a little, you know, green room, and we had these, you know, laminates that let us get back. But at a certain point in the evening, whoever it was that was responsible for
you know, like checking the laminates and, you know, and making sure that if you didn't necessarily have a reason to be there, that you didn't go back there. That person just left at a certain point. So the green room just started filling up with, like, whoever as the night went on.
And there's drunken douchebags. I mean, I love our listeners, love them, but this guy was just a heckling ass all night. Just, like, when you were standing on the stage, like, grabbing my ankle and stuff.
Oh, that guy grabbed my ankle,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was just, and he was being really rude.
Yeah.
And there was a point when we were downstairs, it was, like, right toward the end, and I was getting my stuff, and all of a sudden I turn around, and he's standing in the doorway. And I'm, you know, and I'm a nice person, but this guy has been nothing but rude the entire night. I'm like, get out. And he just wandered in. He's hanging out in there.
At the end, it was about midnight, and Joni and I had gone down there just to kind of collapse on the couch for a second and just really, you know, just talk about the video, and, you know, and that was because I wanted to tell her how great it was and whatever.
And she's become the most attractive girl of Vancouver, I might add.
The most attractive girl in Vancouver.
Well, they say Vancouver's not given enough respect, and I think this is the start of it, really.
Vancouver?
I barely knew her.
It's the second largest city in Washington.
It is true. No, she's, well, yes.
Attractively attired.
No, I, well.
Pretty much so.
I was, I don't even know how to, I don't even know how to respond to that. I will say she looked great last night. She looked really great. She looked wonderful. Well, and she had a great, like a great
beautiful
dress
shoes.
On and so forth, and beautiful shoes and whatnot. Joni.
Oh, yeah, she looked good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have all kinds of compliments, but they would sound awkward. It would sound awkward if I were to say any of the compliments to that, because it sounds like it.
I'm going
to move on now. I'm going to move on and just leave.
Wait, why do you want to talk awkwardly about Joni?
I don't want to talk awkwardly about Joni, but Tim was noting how Tim used the phrase, she's suddenly become the most attractive woman in Vancouver. And I had, I don't know how to, except to say yes. So there.
Like, I meant it.
503. No, and so do I. It would just be see, today is one of those days when I have to think through things.
Well, you don't know yourself or whether or not I know.
I don't know whether things that appear in my head should be said or filed away and to never be said.
And when in doubt, say it anyway.
How to put detectives.
I think I'll go home now.
It's the black curtains.
It really
you
is
never have problems until they put up those
black curtains and they would suck the light out of the room.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Scott Daly will, I guess, be here when he's not busy vomiting somewhere. But Joni and I were sitting downstairs in the green room last night at the end of the show. And we're just sitting on the couch and just kind of rapping and just talking about whatever. And this huge guy, I swear to God, just the size of a barn. This huge guy in like a vest and a cowboy hat and drunk. And just, yeah, it just appears in the doorway. It's like, you are so cool. And he's like, charges me to get a picture with me. Like, I'm just sitting on the sofa and this huge man. He's like that big fat guy from Varsity Blues. This huge man appears in the doorway. And like, kind of lunge. No,
we know what Matt Peterson looks like.
No, Matt Peterson was there. He left early, though.
Maybe. I saw him. I tried to ask him why he calls himself Matty Buttons now, and he wouldn't answer me.
Busy putting skull into his mouth. All right, 503-733.
Maybe that's his odd
I can't drink in here because you guys are making me laugh too much.
Coming into my nose.
I was going to say, don't act like it's because of some sort of etiquette. The beer is just chilling right here. It's just not cold enough yet. All right, well, let's take some calls here. Can we do a few calls and then break, sir?
Yeah.
And then we'll talk to Bob.
We don't have the guests for 40.
All right. Hi, Timothy.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
It is Timothy. I'm the guy who was stuck between that guy, the big guy with the hat, and the guy who was grabbing at your knees. I had the copy of Joni Jarucci's tape of Bigger Than Jesus in the T-shirt.
Yes.
And I'm also Sticky Keys Tim.
this is the guy. Okay, yeah, this is the guy who called us last week to reveal that years ago when I paid him $20 for a little musical keyboard that he then used it to go buy heroin.
But since then, I've been in recovery.
Thank you.
And I was clean and sober, and I've been going to listeners' parties since the center, okay?
Now, is this, you were clean and sober?
Oh, absolutely. Water in my hand.
Okay.
And so, I was with someone in recovery, actually, people I noticed in recovery there. But I had more fun there, Rick, than any of your other parties.
Thank you.
I finally got to meet Scotty. It was just a
That's really what makes it all worthwhile. That really is.
The music. It was brilliant.
Yeah, we had to give big ups, as the kids say, to Hit Me Baby, who were great, and Emerson Starship, who were fantastic.
Big props. And even the ACDC, I was just really, it was fun.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming out, sir. We're glad you had a good time.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you, Timothy.
Bye-bye.
Timothy! I'm just going to keep doing that. Jason, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up?
Oh, man, great party last night.
Thank you.
Only been in here in Portland for about 6 months, so first one I've ever been to, and man, that was a night to remember.
Thank you. Well, it's all downhill from here, sir. Thank you. Well, we're glad you came out. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I heard a couple days ago the whole Sarah and the Kink.com thing, and it struck a note, and I had to call and tell you guys the story.
Okay.
About 2 years ago, a friend of mine lives in Frisco. Sends me this link, and he says, Jason, I don't know exactly how to explain this, so maybe you can. Sends me the link, so I'm like, okay, I gotta see this. And of course, it's about a low rent gay porn flick, and I'm like, all right, why am I watching this? It's me. And I'm like, oh, the hell? And of course, I had to sit there for about 2 minutes. I was like, okay, what was the drunkest I've ever been? And have I ever been in this city?
Right.
So, eventually, it's like, okay, this clearly isn't me.
So your friend sent you a link to a gay porn film because there was a guy in it who looked exactly like you.
Like, if I had walked past this guy on the street, I would have cried doppelganger. I mean,
now the question is, now was your friend gay? Was your friend straight? Why was he watching this?
Oh, my, yeah, very gay.
Okay, all right.
Incredibly gay.
Okay, and so he saw it, and then did he at any point ever think it was you, or did he know immediately that it wasn't you?
No, because we hadn't seen each other for maybe a year.
I see.
Yeah, and the guy looked exactly like me. He's like, didn't you have anything you want to tell me or something?
Was it unnerving?
Very unnerving. Because I'm sitting there watching myself in a gay porn movie.
And like, not only that.
Yeah, I'm looking at a screen and there's a picture of the person looks exactly like me, the ball gag.
Yeah.
Freaky.
Now, was the weirdest part that, like, you were watching yourself really, like, enjoying gay sex?
Well, actually, that was just kind of unnerving. The story thickens, of course.
Of course.
In about 6 months later, my father is helping me fix my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, then there it is. Son, is there a conversation? Would you like to go hunting?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So he comes across it, and so, like, there's this whole, like, family intervention thing. And, of course, they're really accepting of it. It's like, oh, it's okay. You know, you're
gay.
It's all right.
So now you're in a position.
Like, you need some money. Are you having problems?
You're having to convince your parents that you're not gay and that you're not a gay porn star.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's the best story ever.
So there's a little, it could be worse type thing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
No
and
problem.
We're glad you had a good time with that. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, and after coming out, I had to wake up the next morning, and I'm currently driving to Utah to help a friend move.
Your life keeps getting better.
Oh, by the second.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
No problem.
All right, there you go.
One of my friends was telling me when she was in high school, which would be the worst time for this to happen. She went to school here, and at the back of the Willamette Week, one of those, naughty naked ladies.
Right.
And actually, there was a girl who looked exactly like her, and somebody cut it out and brought it to school, and they're like, what are you doing in your spare time?
For a good time.
Oh.
All right, let's do one more, and then we'll break. Scotty's saying to take line four, and then we'll break. We'll come back. More of Jim Roop, Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon, Bob Costantini, et cetera. Todd, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi. That was the big chant last night. The big chant of Roop from the crowd.
Best party, hands down, from any other listener party. I've got literally no voice. I've got no brain cells left. My liver left me sometime early morning.
Thank success.
Oh, my God.
A job really well done.
As I told Scotty, the one small critique is when are the venues that you hold these at going to understand the raging alcoholic demographic that you have that they'd open every form of bar immediately when they open the door?
I will say this. I will say this is that, and this is, somebody posted this, I think also on the MySpace, on my MySpace page this morning. It seems like it's a little bit of a Groundhog Day because after every single listener party, and we should say up front, the Barracuda's a great venue. We like being there. But after every single party, no matter where it is, the next day we're always having this conversation about, like, when will they learn what a group of, and we always tell them, we're always like, no, listen, there's going to be hundreds of people and they drink like fish. They have no willpower. They're going to need booze and lots of it. And they're always like, yeah, we'll... Yeah, we'll take care of that. And then there's always, like, two bartenders who then immediately are overwhelmed and hating their lives. The good, I will say this, though, to their credit, when they saw the number of people who were demanding alcohol, they got on the phone and they called in bartenders from their other bars around
town. They had emergency on-call
bartenders. They did. They called them away from other night spots and brought them over to open the other bars last night. So they did take care of it.
I wanted to throw a big shout-out and a huge thank you to Carol and Krista from Arizona.
From Tucson, yeah.
Basically, having been newly involuntarily single, I was kind of hanging out there, and they kind of adopted me for the night.
Oh.
And it was really sweet. In fact, I think I'm going to be going out with them tonight and be their tour guide. But I just wanted to tell them thank you for making a geek feel a lot of love.
No, it was when you say involuntarily single. If I can ask this, are you the guy that I talked to last night who was single as of this week?
Yes.
Bust up with a wife or something like that.
Women are a lot like buses. You know, you get off one, 10, 15 minutes later, there'll be another one coming by.
Geez. Isn't that right, Sarah? well, in any event, well,
yeah, he sounds like a keeper. I'm just kidding.
No. It's, but you know what? But Carol was great, and her friend Christy was great. Both hot, both beautiful. The fact that they came from Tucson is wonderful, and so it sounded like it worked out well for everybody. So you know what? The Rick Emerson Show, we give, sir. We try to take care of everybody and everybody.
I appreciate that. It was the best show ever.
Thank you, Todd.
Later.
All right, there you go. That's Todd. All right. You know how women are, Sarah. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Do we have to break?
Yes, we do.
We'll take a break. We're going to come back. If you're on hold, please hang tight. We'll come back to you. We got Jim Roop here, Bob Costantini around the corner. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Rick. This is from our good friend Kristen Bowie. Kristen says...
Oh, I saw that poor girl this morning.
How is she feeling?
Not so good.
She enjoys a drink now and again.
Yes, she enjoys her libation.
Kristen says, about Clyde... Let's talk for a moment about Clyde's cologne. Clyde had, I don't know if he buys it by the gallon, but I... No, come on. Jim Roop is here. Let's be honest.
It just sticks to you. You get in the vicinity of that guy and you smell like him all night.
When Clyde showed up, Sarah went, gives him a hug. Hey, Clyde, good to see you. And then walked over to me, and I swear to God, it was as though you had been dipped in his cologne. He bathes in that stuff, like Scotty's Dial. It's insane. This email says, this is from Kristen, about Clyde. He walked up and gave my boyfriend a big hug and then kissed him on the cheek. After that, it was just a lot of kvetching about bees and how it's not about cell phones. Fantastic.
About bees? I don't even want to know.
I don't know. I got nothing. Let's see. Rick, hello, this email says. How is your head feeling this morning? does everything seem too loud? Say hi to the Roopster and tell him thank you for the sunny day. That's from Lisa. Well, there you go. Thank you, Jim, for the sunny day, whatever that is.
I'm just here to help, sir.
All right. We inadvertently hung up on Bob Costantini. Sorry about that.
Oh, man.
Okay, apparently two people answered the phone at once. Or Scotty is claiming. Anyway, we hung up on Bob, so we're getting him a bit back now. In the meantime, let's do this. We'll get these calls. We'll just go through these in no particular order. So if you're on hold, hang tight. Jesse, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, man. Best party ever last night.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, that was awesome. It's so loud in there, but so cool. One thing I know, though, is being that Vancouver doesn't have a whole lot going for it, the one saving grace that it does have is I don't go home smelling like a cigarette after a night of drinking.
Oh, well, that's true. Now, is Vancouver like a non-smoking thing?
Yeah, they kind of all smoking and all public establishments, bars, everything. No smoking anywhere indoors in Vancouver. In fact, there's no big time about it. You can't smoke within 25 feet of an entrance.
Really? Oh, that's kind of how it is in California, too, right?
Yeah, there's no smoking anywhere.
Yeah, so that's all right. You know, last night, I mean, I was talking to Joni afterward, and I was like, you know, I might as well just get really plowed at those things anyway and also start smoking and whatever because I'm going to feel like this the next day anyway. Seriously, if I'm going to feel this terrible, really, why not just abuse myself with all manner of chemicals?
Enjoy getting there.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm going to have to pay
the bill
anyway.
It's not about the destination. It's the journey.
And if I'm going to feel hungover anyway, who cares?
There you go.
All right. Excellent. Jesse, thank you so much for coming out, brother.
Hey, thank you, man.
Thank you. Bye. That's Jesse. All right. We'll get more of your calls in a second. Let's welcome now. Oh, God. Hold on.
Prepare.
Let's welcome now. Oh, ow. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. CNN Radio News Correspondent Bob Costantini.
Hey, Rick. How are you? Are you having throat problems, or?
Well, it's speaking is a little bit of a challenge today. How are you, sir?
Well, you shouldn't yell. You should just. It's very kind of you, as always, to welcome me as strongly as you do, if you will.
Well, Bob, you do.
I do.
Bob, you are the swizzle stick that stirs the Rick Emerson drink, sir. So, all right.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about our good friend Harry Reid, and by our good friend, I mean a guy who's creating a lot of material for people in the media today. Where was he when he said this business about the Iraq War being quote lost?
He was on the Senate floor yesterday, and he was speaking relating to Wednesday's death toll, which was nearly 200 people who were killed in six separate bombings, including over 170 in Baghdad alone. And he said that, basically, and this is a quote, "I believe myself that the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and you have to make your own decisions as to what the President knows. This war is lost, and the surge is not accomplishing anything as indicated by the extreme violence in Iraq."
Now, I'm really confused. I'm really confused about this business of the surge. Now, because we heard they bandied about this figure of like 20,000 additional troops, but then I'm unclear about whether they ever really did that, or did they do it partially, or is it being phased out? Like, has the surge actually started? I can never really tell what's going on over there.
Yeah, that's really interesting question in a lot of ways. According to Pentagon officials, the surge is continuing. They are, you know, there are going to be more than 20,000 U.S. forces total in addition there. And, of course, we've also just heard this past week or a week ago or whatever it was that the tours of duty in Iraq are being extended by 3 months instead of the usual year. Many of the people will be staying there for 15 months. So, you know, that may be part of the surge factor. It's very hard to get a handle exactly on how all this works, but there's supposed to be an additional 20 to 30,000 U.S. forces there and a lot of support personnel as well from what we understand, Rick.
All right. And so what is the White House's response to this Harry Reid thing has basically been, I mean, the White House, regardless of one's partisanship, they seem to have one sort of playbook they run, and that's anytime anybody doesn't like anything they do, they're undermining the troops, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, Dana Perino, the White House spokeswoman.
Let me ask you this. Do you find Dana Perino to be kind of creepy looking? Do you find her to sort of look like a Stepford, kind of a fembot?
I won't say. You're giving me a lot of trouble. I go to a lot of the briefings there, and I would not say I can't. That would be problematic for me because she calls on me from time to time.
Really? Is that true? And,
yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Because I get the feeling if you crossed her, she might actually gouge your eyes out.
I don't suppose that really is the truth.
Okay.
But,
all right.
She responded to this, and I'm trying to look it exactly up here, but basically she said that she challenged the Democrats, and she challenged Senator Reid that if he really had the courage of his convictions, if he felt that strongly, then the Democrats should simply cut off the war funding. And that's been a White House response for quite a few weeks now. As we continue this battle over Iraq war funding, which is supposed to come to some kind of head next week. Just for your information, the House and Senate are going to be negotiating a final bill that will almost certainly have some kind of withdrawal time frame, goals, not very specifics, not absolute certain goals or hard deadlines, but there'll be some goals, and the president is supposed to veto that bill, and then we go to round two of this whole funding issue.
All right, my friend, thank you so much. Have a good weekend. I'm sure we will talk to you in the very near future.
Rick, my pleasure, and take care of your voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent
so mean.
I'm not mean
at
all.
I hate that.
How do you phase in a surge?
I don't know.
It's not a surge if you phase it in.
I thought a surge was when the Iraqis were standing around and all of a sudden they look up and there's 50,000 guys jumping out of planes.
Yeah, you can't phase that.
And they just sort of go, crap, which we're screwed now. But the surge sort of seems to be, it just sort of seems to be a very gradual over the course of 9 years.
Yeah, some surge.
Yeah. You know, I never get tired of just the best moment there. At the risk of pulling back the comedic curtain, it's just a huge overture, and then just his greeting.
Thank you.
Hi, Rick, and thank you. All right.
It's so awkward.
503-733-2973.
Very knowledgeable man, though.
Now, Bob is shrewd. Bob is smart. It's true. Let's see. Rick, this email says, I must confess I was not present at the listener party. After hearing Jim Roop was there, I hang my head in disgust. I have made a foolish mistake, and for the sake of my family's honor, I must now disembowel myself. I regret nothing, he says. That's from Steve. Rick, I had a great time at the listener party last night. I laid low and didn't really tell anybody who I was because it was kind of frightening. Oh, this is Todd the Corpse. It was really great to see everybody, but I have an extra special memory. Last night I got to meet and hang out a bit with Jim Roop. The best moment, though, was when I was standing with Jim Roop and Clyde Lewis. Clyde Lewis was... A lot of these emails start this way. Clyde Lewis was midstream in some crazy story.
About bees?
With liberal use of the words coincidence and and timing. And poor Jim was standing there trying to nicely absorb the force that he is Clyde. I sort of interrupted and said to Jim, you know all about Clyde, right? Because I couldn't imagine anything more terrifying than someone caught unawares by Clyde Lewis. Jim responded calmly, yeah, I know all about Clyde. And politely kept listening, Jim is genius. That's from Todd.
I remember Todd.
No, Todd was great. Horn rim glasses.
Yeah, I remember Todd. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Diana, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, sister?
Oh, great time. Thank you so much.
You sound fantastic.
Oh, come on. I sound much worse when I've called in before.
No, it's true. And you still sound better than any of us.
Oh, my God. Emerson Starship. There was one point I was on the floor dancing, and I realized I had to keep my hands up or my spleen would just explode.
Or my spleen would explode.
It wasn't the liver. It was the spleen. It was on the other side. It was just the most incredible vibrations ever.
With that band, really, when the Emerson Starship guys really kicked in at the end of the night, I mean, when they were playing Bark at the Moon or whatever that was, it was so loud, you could just feel it rattling your ribs loose. I mean, it was great, but God damn, it was loud.
Let's see. I want to say thank you to the curator of the museum. He greeted me when I came in, thanked me for all the goodies I brought.
This is the one thing. I felt like an ass. I forgot to do this on stage last night. We forgot to thank Dave Zinn, who has been the gatekeeper and the curator of all of the things that people donated, all the things that people dropped off and let us borrow very kindly for use in the museum, and who showed people. He gave little mini tours of the exhibits last night. So Dave Zinn was totally the man. So yeah, Dave's in rules.
It was great. Let's see, the video was wonderful. I love the Scotty J confessional. That was too funny for words.
Scotty J and the donkey.
And you heard about Kara was producing the property of Scotty J stickers.
I have one of those, actually.
Excellent.
There were some stickers going around. They were transparent stickers, so if you put them on your skin, it looked like a tattoo. And they said the property of Scotty J for everything but sex.
That's right.
Yeah,
and somewhere there's a picture of Kara and I squeezing our bosoms together, showing off the stickers.
Fantastic. Best audience ever.
Right. We had so much fun, and thank you. It's so good to see the low. So such a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Roop.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming up to our little city. And next party, I think it's going to be Bald Skags and Donkeys.
And we'll have it at my house next time.
Oh! All right. Have a great day.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye.
All right, there you go.
She's so perky.
She sounds way better than anybody has a right to. Let's see. Is Scotty... Scotty's typing the screen. I don't feel so good. Scotty, are these calls current? I mean, these descriptions? Okay. Whatever you say. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
My woodcock is not doing good today, buddy.
How's your woodcock doing? Oh, my darling little woodcock.
A woodcock, of course, being a warbling bird that is absent from
exactly.
the Northwest.
Exactly. Exactly, my precious bird. No, yes. Dude, my liver is on strike this morning, so...
Excellent.
I had some good fun. A couple comments before my query. Number one, how great is your fan base?
The best audience ever.
I met so many cool people. I finally got to put faces with names of all the people I've heard on the show and fellow callers, and yeah, I had so much fun. It was great, dude.
It was, like at the end, you just sort of give a disgusted, nauseous shake of the tongue.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, God. Well, and number two,
yes.
Sarah, you are such a sweet girl. You are as cool in person as I thought you would be.
Oh, thank you. That's nice to say.
Right. Thank you for letting me drunkenly hug you and not kick me in the groin. absolute fear. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
We were all talking and we were wondering, whose idea was it for the Connie Chung?
It was Rick.
That was me.
I really wanted to don a dress.
I just wanted to dress up in something pretty.
Oh, man. Well, you are secure in your manhood, and you have been raised in my esteem, man. So good job.
Well, thank you. I never thought that video would give anybody a positive impression of me. But
Darcells will offer you a part-time job.
Totally. I can be there.
That was awesome.
I can be there, Liza Minnelli. All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming out. We had a great time. Thank you, my friend.
Right on. Me too. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Yeah, if you missed the intro video last night, we'll post it on the website at some point. It's not up there. It's not going to be up there this weekend, but it's maybe next week we'll get that up. We had this intro video that Joni DeRoshi put together that had things. It had, what am I trying to say? It had a little crawl at the beginning, so some little graphics that talked about how, you know, other programs talk about, you know, issues and news and crap and, you know, important things and whatever. And we're not really into it. Really, we're just like the lowest common denominator pandering. I mean, really, that's what we're all about. We're just all about just the most, we're not about the truth. We're really not. We're just about the most unimportant pandering swill. And so she did a whole series of YouTube videos because we're, you know, we try to, you know, we do so much stuff with pop culture and stuff that is just weird. And so she had the Bank One guy and the rapping traffic girl and the I'm so excited, I'm so scared.
I'm so glad that was on there.
Yeah.
My favorite.
And the James Brown clip. And then she segued into some fake YouTube videos. And the fake YouTube videos had Tim Riley as the Star Wars kid, Sarah as Bald Britney attacking a car with an umbrella, Scotty doing the Paris Hilton sex video with a donkey, and then me doing the Connie Chung thanks for the memories thing. And I had this these like opera gloves and this dress. It was all very horrifying.
It was exquisite. The best part was how you got off of the console. That was the best part.
You know, and the sad thing is, really more sad for Connie Chung than for me, is that, and this actually is really sad for me, that I sat and watched that Connie Chung video 3 or 4 times, like taking extensive notes about what she did. All right, here she leans on her back, and then she waggles her legs in the air. And then here she slides off the counter with a grunt. Here she falls on the floor. I mean, I was obsessed with the accuracy of it. You know, and Joni's like, come on, it's just 90 seconds. Just get it done. I'm like, no, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be a perfect parody of the Connie Chung thing.
And it paid off.
Oh, God. If by paid off you mean it horrified people.
It was great.
CBS Portland Radio Marketing told me, she's like, you know, I couldn't even watch it all the way through. She's like, I had to look away. She's too terrified. Let's see. What am I doing here? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir?
Here's one listener who just severely regrets not limping down there. I wanted to go to the party, but I dropped a washing machine on my thigh. And to hear that Jim Roop was the mystery guest, oh, the pain is real. Oh, man, I'm bummed.
Aww.
And so, wait, hold on. So you dropped a washing machine on your thigh?
Yeah, on my thigh.
How did that happen?
I'll try to make it as brief as possible. We stack washing machines on my job,
uh-huh.
and the one was covered with soap.
Oh.
So the other fella couldn't get a grip on it,
to
just smack it over our heads.
Oh.
And then as I was reaching to assist him lifting his side of it, I accidentally knocked his eyeglasses up a bit, and then he shook his head. Oh, no, my eyeglasses dropped. We're in the back of this dark trailer.
Oh, my God.
We're losing the grip of the washer, and he's thinking, oh, please don't break my glasses. The washer's dropping anyway, so I just kind of, like, turned from it, fell on my side.
Oh, that's no good.
Let that be a lesson. The soapy one, the soapy dishwasher, goes on the bottom.
Yes, seriously.
Let that be a lesson.
Yeah, try to get one as low to the ground as possible.
I'm still learning how to stack the washing machine, but I did save his eyeglasses. The pain is real, but I missed Jim Roop last night. I should have come anyway and went around dancing. But
let this be a lesson to you, sir, to play through the pain next time.
You guys are awesome. Tim Riley rules. Thanks, boys. Somebody said it was Friday.
All right, thank you, my friend. There you go. All right.
We shouldn't complain about our jobs. We're not stacking washing machines.
No, seriously. I mean, there's nothing. The only thing we can drop here is beer. That's it, beer or...
If it's soap my headphones,
yeah. All right. Well, what do? We should take a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got some more calls to get to. So if you're on hold, hang tight. We'll get your calls. We have more from Jim Roop, Sarah Dillon, myself, and around the corner, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Oh, by the way, I should mention this, if you are listening and the station is sort of popping a little bit, the audio's dropping, there's a guy on top, they're doing a little bit of tower work right now, so that's actually being caused by us.
Or is it someone stealing the copper wiring around the bottom of the tower and head?
It's actually not anything we're fixing. We're actually causing it ourselves. So, if you hear the station dropping out a little bit, that's actually because we're doing a little bit of tower work. That'll be fixed, just for a while. So don't freak out. And don't let Clyde tell you it's because of a bee somewhere. You stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. Nobody left. Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Jim just got shanghaied by Scotty J. We thought Jim might have actually gotten shanghaied for real last night. When I looked around and I couldn't find him.
We couldn't find him anywhere.
It was like 12:30 last night, midnight, something like that. And there was a lot of, like, where did Jim Roop go? And I said, I don't know. And the number of people who actually said to me, you lost Jim Roop? Because we couldn't. Because you ended up going to, what, you ended up going out with Brad or something? You guys ended up going to get dinner? You and Brad and Clyde and a whole posse of people?
Yeah, I went up taking the test.
And I, really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You ended up what?
They ended up making you pay for dinner?
I offered.
Jim.
I had to give back, man.
Brad doesn't seem like he'd make anyone pay for dinner.
Seriously.
I mean, Clyde would.
I took care of it before Brad realized it was done.
Is this the revenge for the time that Brad had to pay for, like, that Lycus dinner that time? It was,
man.
Like $1,200.
No, this wasn't that bad.
A bunch of sales guys decided to take him out and then left, and Brad had to cover the entire tab, which is over, I think, like $1,000.
Yeah, to be fair, it wasn't Tom, actually. It was Brad and Tom and then a bunch of, and it's always the salespeople. Always. God love them, but it's always the sales guys. Free food. And so they went out there, and I think, Tom, was like, he went back to the hotel, and the salespeople kind of drifted away, and it ends up being Brad, sort of the last man standing at the table, and they bring him the bill, and it's like $1,300. So they stuck you with the bill last night at dinner?
No,
God knows how much Clyde probably drank if he wasn't paying. Jesus.
Well, at least he didn't talk human to paying his rent.
Jim doesn't have boobs.
Thank God.
All right. I'm sorry. Hello. Let's all stop. Now let's do this.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Now here's
the guy who should have been fired, actually. Brady McGurk, Don Imus's producer, has been fired. And he's the one that made the nastier comment of the two, really.
Yeah, well, he was the one, and he tried to pass it off like he was referencing a Spike Lee thing, but he made way more hideous remarks than I mean, always has.
But and he's held on to that job for 20 years, so that's a long run. He has no right to complain. So CBS fired him today.
I'm amazed it took us. I'm amazed, except for Charles McCord, who I think will probably retain his job. He may leave voluntarily. I don't think
they're... But he just sits there and reads the paper most of the day anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's very much...
on MSNBC.
He's so far removed from the rest of that show in terms of tone. But it astounds me that they didn't just blow all those guys out at once. I mean, it's like Sid Rosenberg and all those guys who have always been, I mean, whenever one thinks of Imus, Sid and Bernie have always been way worse than he has. So...
Well, good luck with that. We get 20 years. I mean, yeah, he has no right to bitch about that at all.
Right.
All right, well.
I mean, you know, probably have profit sharing, some stock and whatnot.
Seriously, screw him. All right.
Well, since Jim Roop is here, he's missing on all these great California stories, and I know he's going to kick himself to learn that he has missed
Eric Estrada getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Damn. Damn it, Jim.
He's 58 years old now. Of course I'm proud, he said, but equally important, it represents my childhood dream of becoming a police officer. Huh? I didn't think he was a real cop.
Who, Eric Estrada?
Yeah.
What?
He's not a real cop.
No, he thinks so.
I don't know.
So. Maybe Johnny Grant convinced him he's a real cop.
Maybe he thinks he's getting a star today, too.
Is this lack of sleep? I can't really
tell. Oh, wait a minute. He recently became a reserve officer for the Muncie, Indiana Police Department.
Oh, it's part of the CBS reality series.
Yeah.
This is the Chips guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't hallucinating.
Is that
this whole
Ponch
story.
Or the other guy?
That's Ponch.
Ponch.
Poncharello. The other guy is Larry Wilcox, who plays
that's
John.
Right. Yeah.
Why do I know that? Do you ever notice on Chips that they... I'm becoming that guy. Do you ever notice on Chips that they would speed along, and they would always be doing this blindingly white smile with their teeth, and you would always wonder how they would scrape the bugs off their teeth at the end of that. They had these big, huge, toothy grins on their faces as they would speed along. Why is Eric Estrada a cop in Muncie, Indiana?
It's part of a CBS reality series entitled Armed and Famous.
Oh,
the show was canceled in January.
I was going to say, I think the best thing about that is that show only lasted two episodes. I think they filmed the whole thing. They showed like two episodes, and about halfway through the second one, somebody in the network was like, no, yank it.
Pull the plug. Yeah,
yeah. Totally. We're halfway through the evening.
Put a little house on the prairie up, quick.
Totally. That's exactly what. Find Ron Popeil. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's a weird world when Eric Estrada's a real cop somewhere.
It's a weird world when he gets a star on the Walk of Fame.
Well, but you can bet anybody can do that. You can
15,000. Well, 30 grand or
you
something.
You buy that.
I think it's 30 grand, yeah.
Who did I just see that got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Well, Forrest Whitaker, who actually deserves it. That should tell you how little it means, though. That they'll give it to Forrest Whitaker and to Eric Estrada. I mean, can you think of any other Hollywood honor that should be given?
Now, where did they say where it is? What part of the Walk of Fame that it's...
It doesn't.
See, because that matters.
Yeah, but
where
a porn
it is.
Store.
Well, you know, there's lots of sidewalk in Hollywood.
I was going to say down by the Hustler store somewhere. Oh, God. That's true. Yeah, see, that's right. You are here to give the definitive answer on many of these things. That's right. Can you think of anybody whose star on the Walk of Fame is so far removed from any traveled area as to be completely pointless?
Yeah, there's one down by a Children's Hospital that, and I forgot who's it is.
Like that's where they put Trigger.
It's a radio. No, I think Trigger has a good. I think he's a good location.
Really?
So I think he's got a good locale near Hollywood and Highland.
You know, Ed Wood has one now. They bandied together. They got enough money together to give Ed Wood a star on the Walk of Fame, which is great. All right. Yeah.
Well, Jim probably wants to know what's going on here locally.
And
I really do.
A 24-year-old Gresham man is dead after being shot several times in a trailer park. Gresham police announced late yesterday that Cheyenne Evans...
Cheyenne.
Is that a man or a woman?
It's a man.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the name of somebody who would live in the trailer park. Was arrested in an apartment in Everett, Washington on a charge of murder with a firearm. He was recently released from a federal prison. And was taken back with open arms to Everett, as everyone is.
Well, really, it's the same population, that's all. Just a different paint job.
And something has to be done to stop these people from procreating all the time. At one point, an officer had to reject a request by a man who identified himself as the owner of the trailer park where the shooting occurred to go inside and retrieve a bottle of liquor.
The story gets classier with every passing sentence. We really ought to just start... Sarah, what's the cheapest, trashiest cigarette there is?
Cool.
Really?
I don't know.
Salem's, too.
I think Salem.
They're all kinds of really tough.
Pall Mall. Now, I thought those were sort of a cool hipster cigarette. I thought
a lot of people smoke them.
Oh, really?
Because they're sort of retro. Like what else? Like that's kind of like
Lucky Strike, kind of.
Cool, like Cool's Menthols or something.
See, so they ought to just take, figure out whatever they are, the bottom like five, the bottom tier of cigarettes, and just start spiking them with birth control. That's it. Spiking them with contraception. That and bottles of Boone's Farm apple wine. You know, then you'll be set.
I like that a lot.
think of how much crime we could reduce in a generation. Oh, I wish I was dead. Let me get a couple of these. Hey, it's our good friend Carol from Tucson. Hi,
Rick.
Carol. How you doing?
Great. How you doing?
I'm okay, I think.
Alert and awake?
No, and no.
Hey, I need to say hi to my brother Dennis in Tucson.
Hi, Dennis.
And Krista and I are just so impressed by just all the friendliness, generosity of everyone in Portland. We don't even know how to react.
Now this is Carol and Krista who flew in from Tucson, Arizona, specifically for Listener Party 10 last night. And so I hope you don't mind that we brought you up on stage and embarrassed you a little last night, but we wanted to point out the devotion of the Rick Emerson audience. And that is the whole thing in a microcosm. We always say, like, the greatest audience ever and best listeners ever, and really there's no better proof of that than the fact that really, just for this, God love it, for this dumb show, that you would come all the way from Arizona. I mean, that just says it all right there. So we're glad you guys had a great time. How long are you in Portland for?
Until tomorrow morning.
All right, what have you seen and what have you not seen in Portland?
Well, we went to the Chinese Garden,
okay. And
we had a nice meal at McMenamin's.
Yes, all right. And then, now, we suggested that you go to Powell's, but I know you didn't end up not being able to do that.
Yeah, well, we might do that today, maybe, in passing, but we're just going to take a look around the city. We're going to see if there's some sort of boat tour.
Sarah, boat tour, Portland, anything?
On the Portland Spirit?
That might be what they're thinking of, maybe. I don't really know.
Sure. Yeah, we don't really know either. We're just going to have to ask around.
Well, it's a beautiful city, really, and Scotty is saying there's a place called the Washington Park Rose Garden, which is really beautiful as well. I mean, you only got a day, so you may have to prioritize, but it really is a beautiful place, and I'm not just saying that because I live here. It's just one of the best cities ever, 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 so... It means so much to us here that you would come here from Arizona to see the show last night and whatever. So thanks so much.
The party was over the top.
Yeah, it really, really was. So thank you. And it means the whole world. So enjoy the rest of your time in Portland.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Carol. There you go. That's Carol from Tucson, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right.
You know, this is this city. If you don't mind, if I jump in here.
That's what it's what's talking for. Us.
I really enjoy a lot of things about the city, but I learned a couple of things that I thought it's pretty interesting. For instance, there's one parking meter for a whole street. I mean, I like that.
Oh, you mean
you were drunk last night and going on and on about that?
Yeah, that was
really
pretty cool. And then that flex car thing.
Yeah,
that would never work in LA.
That is a total.
It'd be gone in 5 minutes.
It'd be gone
or
crashed or something.
That's set on fire. You know?
Just a lug nut to be left in the parking space.
I'm serious. You know, there'd be somebody just waiting for them to get parked.
Totally. No, that's exactly. That's totally true. It would just be set ablaze in the parking spot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, somebody figure out a way to get into it and take the car. You know, or set it on fire. That's a great program.
I don't use the flex car thing because I got a car, but it really is. But I do. I will say this: Portland, the public transportation here is amazing. The public transportation system here, because we got light rail, and we have a great bus system as well. And between light rail and the bus, and then stuff like flex rail, you can get almost anywhere you need to go without a car if you need to.
Even a newsman could travel on it.
Yeah, it might reek of urine by the time you get to your destination, but you'll get there. Absolutely. Yeah. So no, it's true. There it really is. And the parking meter thing, they finally started putting those in. They got those in, so you don't have to do the stupid ones with the coin where you turn the stupid coin or whatever. It's pretty great. And the one great thing about the parking meter system here, was he really going on about this last night?
Yeah, it really was. I thought that was because the person who drove me to the venue last night said, I'm going to take care of my parking. So
right.
And she started walking away. And I'm thinking, where is the parking meter?
Right, right.
You know, and then she went to this deal, got a sticker, and wouldn't put it out.
I thought, man, that's pretty, that's great.
Well, you know, the great thing about that is because if you get that sticker, not that it matters to you, not that you're going to be able to use this knowledge, but that sticker you can take and then use in any other space. It's just until the time elapses. So you'll put in like a $2 or 2 hours worth of money, and it'll print out a sticker that says, good until 6:15 p.m., and you can use that at any parking space.
That's genius.
So you no longer have to pay for time, and then you feel like a loser because you leave, and you're leaving money on the meter.
I think the weird thing is, though, they reserve parking spots for cops.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
Cops can park anywhere. Let the people have the parking spot.
So can we, though. We got to meet at CBS Radio. This is another great thing about CBS. CBS has they wrangled these weird media passes from the city, and so CBS can park anywhere. Not us. They don't let us do it, but I mean, but like the station vehicles.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Park those anywhere you want.
I have one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Badass. Let's get Ryan. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Well, two things. One, I'm the one who brought the only girl that was dressed up as a schoolgirl.
Yeah, there's we had fewer schoolgirls this time because we didn't really mention it as much in the lead up. But I do remember you, and she was she was beautiful.
Yeah, what was kind of funny was that one of you guys' camera guys, I think, took like four pictures of her throughout the night, and then various other people like leaning over rails taking pictures without asking her nothing. I got so much crap because she was the only one that she saw, and she just. She was amazed by that. You know,
no, it's...
Well, it's my first time going to Lister Party. I don't know. I was told that there was going to be a bunch of them.
No, it's normally a thing that we really push a lot in advance, and there was so much other stuff going on this end that we didn't really get a chance to sort of dwell on it, but she was beautiful. And Sarah was pointing this out, and I don't... And I think we all discussed this before the show today, and we all kind of concurred on this. And they're really... I guess there's really just no... There's no subtle way to put this, but... I mean, there really are just an astounding number of hot women who listen to the show and who come to our events. It really is true. Because, which is just, I don't know why that should be surprising. But it just is, you go to like that listener party last night, and I mean, it really is pretty flabbergasting. Just a number of stunning women who were there. So that was, that's great. Yeah, so thank you for coming out. Today was It was a great time. Sounds like you had a great time as well, my friend.
I did. And I only have one other thing.
Yes.
Mr. Roop, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
He's doing way better than any of us.
He said something really funny last night because I told him, I go, yeah, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. And he goes, so am I, but I hope I can remember tonight.
No, I remember you.
And I just told him, I go, well, I'll call in and make sure you remember everything that you did while you're there.
Nice. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Larry.
Yeah, I remember him now and his girlfriend, I guess. Very beautiful, very beautiful.
Done something to the phone here. All right, there we go. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Washington County man has been arrested for biting his roommate in the head. Deputies responded to reports of a fight in the 22,000 block of Northwest Calama. When they arrived, they found the man standing in front of the house bleeding from the head. It was inflicted by a human being. The victim said his roommate, 42-year-old James Kane, had assaulted him and then left in a 79 silver Honda Accord. Soon after the deputies spoke to the victim, they saw the Honda approaching at a high rate of speed. They moved out of the way quickly. One of the deputies pursued the vehicle, lost sight of it. A short time later, they found that Honda abandoned. So then they brought out the canine units and found the guy. He's been charged with assault, reckless driving, driving under the influence of intoxicants, and booked to jail. Well, a lot of us are wondering what the Baldwin brothers are up to these days.
Oh, and now wait a minute. Now, is this Alec Baldwin call?
It is, yes.
Do you have the whole thing?
I'm not sure if I do.
I have the whole thing.
Let's play the whole thing.
Do you want to give a little bit of backstory? I have the whole thing, and it's bleeped. Do you want to give a little backstory? Jim, have you... Well, of course not. You've been drunk in your hotel room all morning.
He doesn't have to pay any attention.
You don't have to follow the news at all today. Jim, is it... Jim Roop, is it...
Couldn't figure out how to turn the television on.
I have that problem, too, yeah. In hotels. When my wife and I were in Seattle over Christmas, I swear to God... We couldn't figure out how to just watch television, and at a certain point, we had to call the front desk, and we're like, how do we just turn on the goddamn television? And she's like, well, do you want to order a movie? I'm like, no, I want to watch. She's like, well, what kind of TV do you want to watch? I'm like, the TV.
Yeah, the square one that's on the counter.
What do I do? And she actually couldn't figure it out either, and finally, we're like, F it. We just turned it off. Okay, so is it like a weight off your shoulders to not have to care about the news today at all?
It's nice to be able to go somewhere... on a CNN thing.
Right.
And not have to work.
You do have some CNN clothing. You were claiming you didn't have any CNN clothing.
I found this sweater, but my wife said, don't wear that.
No, it's great.
Wear the black thing.
No, it's good.
Sorry.
All right, so why don't you give us the backstory on this, and I'll play the call.
Well, apparently, Alec Baldwin left his 11-year-old daughter, Ireland, after she missed his scheduled call from New York to her in Los Angeles. So he's very upset about her conduct here. And apparently her lawyer, his wife's lawyer, said he's out of touch with the reality after scolding her on the phone.
Scolding is, by the way, a very light word for about where we're
going. Yeah, I haven't heard this. I've read about it, but I haven't heard anything about it.
So what? And I'm assuming this had to have been Kim Basinger who released this.
Yes.
I can't imagine the 12-year-old daughter is savvy enough to have, I guess she could have. She could have put it on the net or something. I'm assuming this came to the media via Kim Basinger because they had a very rancorous divorce. So what you are about to hear, and this is real, what you are about to hear is Alec Baldwin leaving a voicemail for his... And at one point, by the way, he doesn't even know how old she is. He goes, well, just because you're 11 or 12...
It says here she's 11.
Okay, he thinks she's...
But she might have shaved a few years, as everybody in Hollywood.
So, this is Alec Baldwin leaving a... And this is not a joke. This is a real voicemail message that Alec Baldwin left for his 11-year-old daughter after she missed a scheduled phone call that he was going to make to her.
From New York.
Hey, I want to tell you something, okay? And I want to leave a message for you right now, because, again, it's 10:30... here in New York on a Wednesday, and once again, I've made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go and I make that phone call at 11 o'clock in the morning in New York, and if you don't pick up the phone, at 10 o'clock at night, and you don't even have that goddamn phone turned on. I want you to know something, okay? I'm tired of playing this game with you. I'm leaving this message with you to tell you, you have insulted me for the last time. You have insulted me. You don't have the brains or the decency as a human being. I don't give a damn that you're 12 years old or 11 years old, or that you're a child, or that your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass who doesn't care about what you do as far as I'm concerned. You have humiliated me for the last time with this phone. And when I come out there next week, I'm going to fly out there for the day just to straighten you out on this issue. I'm going to let you know just how disappointed in you I am and how angry I am with you that you've done this to me again. You've made me feel like... And you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother. And you do it to me constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane and I'm going to come out there for the day. And I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me. So I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
To replay this message.
What a prize.
You know, I certainly hope that the cops heard that, because now that they know Way's coming, they can stake out the house.
I mean, seriously.
Well, I think you're typical East Coast parents.
Seriously, did you wait? I kept waiting for them to go into the always be closing. I mean, good God almighty.
Well, there's a difference in discipline between the two coasts, obviously.
I suppose.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, I heard that this morning. Court from Court and Fatboy sent that to me. And it was just like, Alec Baldwin is goddamn crazy, was the subject line of the email. I mean, that's insane.
Now, was he making an ass out of himself because she made him make that phone call in a public place, so he's shouting like that and everybody in the world can hear him? Or does he just think that everybody knows that she missed a phone call?
I don't even really know. It's like, what possible, I mean, first of all, she's 11, so like, what possible backstory could there be? What possible context could you put that in to not make it sound insane? I mean, what?
There is none. He is insane.
Yeah, like, what could an 11-year-old girl, short of burning down a church, what could an 11-year-old girl have done to possibly make that not crazy?
Have you talked to Alec Baldwin ever, or Kim Basinger?
Yeah, I have in the past. Yeah.
Did he swing on you?
No, he's just real short and sweet, you know.
Yeah.
How you doing? Fine.
Yeah, he
can
just...
Can you make a comment on... Not right now.
He seems like a grumpy kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Good actor, grumpy guy. Seems like kind of a dick. That's just my estimation of it. All right. All right, we should take a break here. We'll come back. We got more from Jim Rope, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scott Daly, who was last seen vomiting some beer into a corner last night at Barracuda. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Friday, the day after. We'll see you in just a few. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. Thank you. Really? Okay. I'm looking at the Scotty putting the calls on the screen here. I'm trying to find the deal with Jeff McGinley, and I can't open this email that says Jeff McGinley. Oh, really? Okay, great. So Jeff McGinley from CBS Radio Engineering will be joining us here in a while. Apparently he's got some. Apparently he's got a wonderful Scotty J story.
It's a great story.
Is it? Do you know it?
Uh huh.
See, I don't know the Scotty J story that he's going to tell.
Typical Scotty J.
Is it?
Let's just say Scotty J was acting kind of like he was playing a Scott Daly.
What does that mean?
Oh, I know what that means.
Did he vomit too?
Probably.
I would say that probably ends with that. That's probably the punchline of all the stories. Probably everybody last night, whatever they did, their story ends with, and then I vomited. All right, we're here with Jim Roop later on. Scott Daly will be here. Like is at 3, Donna Mike at 7, and so forth. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
We have breaking news here. The Johnson Space Center building has been evacuated amid reports of a person with a gun. That's all we know right now.
All right, so there's a report of these are shots fired or just...
Reports of a person with a gun.
Yeah.
And that's what we have at the moment. So we'll continue to follow this.
Rick, did you notice at the beginning of the Alec Baldwin call that he said he made an ass of himself trying to find a phone to call her? It's 2007. Why does Alec Baldwin not have a cell phone? That sounded really odd. That is a fair point. I don't know the answer to that.
And the CNN site reports of gunfire at the Johnson Space Center.
So we do have a report that there are...
The sound of a gun going off.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You got the CNN BlackBerry over there.
Yeah. So let's rely on Jim's BlackBerry.
Excellent. Fantastic. So we actually have breaking news. We have the CNN guy in our studio. Breaking news happens.
I'm in route.
Fantastic. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, from Kansas comes word of Bobby Beers in hot water following an incident he insists was a little more than a simple discipline.
Oh, God.
As a result, 27-year-old Terrence Burnett is charged with assault after allegedly spanking his 7-year-old son with a cable from his computer. School officials called police when they saw welts on the boy's hands and arms. Burnett admits to beating the youngster, but said it was no worse than what he got when he was a child.
His behavior was a constant problem, and I choose to discipline my child. No matter what anyone else thinks, I choose to discipline my child. Maybe the discipline was just a bit too severe.
Do you think? Maybe have Alec Baldwin step in next time and take care of that for you, friend. Jesus. All right. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I just wonder, you got Richardson, you got Gibson, Imus. This is, in my opinion, this is as bad or as worse as anything those jackasses said.
No,
probably worse because he's threatening a kid.
No, he'll be in rehab. Alec Baldwin will be in rehab by the end of the month. You know that's true.
Diane Sawyer, Oprah. Who does he apologize to?
Al Sharpton.
You know, everybody else could apologize to...
It's Al Sharpton. From now until the end of time, no matter what you do, if you get a parking, a parking ticket, you scratch your car, you trim your hedge the wrong way. It doesn't matter whatever you do. You apologize. You wear white after Labor Day. You apologize to Al Sharpton.
Why does anyone listen to Al Sharpton? What he did was worse than what I just said. Saying somebody was covered in their own duty. Horrible. Why is that?
Welcome
quite unfair, week. Frankly.
Yes. Yes, I know.
So, all right, thanks, bye.
All right.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, he just, as soon as he heard that I didn't care, yeah. As soon as he could tell I was under, man just pulled the ripcord and just
That's
failed.
A great listener right there.
Man, he removed himself from the equation as soon as he could hear my eyes glazing over.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Gloria Allred gets involved in this thing.
Oh, and the represents Alec Allred thing. Yeah. Boy, man, is she, you know what Gloria Allred is? She's
the Al Sharpton of female lawyers.
She is just a black-winged vulture that just flaps around above California. She's like one of those, what are those things, one of those ringwraiths in The Lord of the Rings. She's like one of those dragon-riding Nazgul, and she just flaps her, you know, in the sky above Los Angeles and just waits for things like this to be in the news, and then she just swoops down with her big crazy eyes and her Cruella de Vil makeup. Have you ever been in the same room with her?
Oh, yeah.
Is she, let me ask you this. How
much makeup? Sherwin Williams probably sponsors her.
How unpleasant is she to look at in person?
You have to avert your eyes.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just on television.
It's not that you'll turn to stone or anything, but it's
it just hurts.
Yeah,
you're still looking at her.
You feign writing. You know, your tape recorder's catching it all, but you're doing this, you're going.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, Gloria, uh-huh. I can't look at your face.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And she wears a 1950s Dear Abby wig?
Totally. Totally. She's got the weird, yeah, totally.
And her daughter's cute.
Really?
Oh, that's, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, it's like no matter, that's sort of that weird equation, no matter how hot Gloria Allred's daughter is, you would never, ever, 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 ever want to be involved with her in any way because it would bring you one shade closer to Gloria Allred.
You don't want
to
be around that Thanksgiving table.
Oh, good. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that someone had to have relations with Gloria Allred to create an Allred offspring? Seriously, I mean, imagine. I mean,
now I'm going to vomit.
I'm just saying, I'm thinking like, I'm not going to say it. This is, no, see, it's that day after the party where my filter isn't really working. So I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say what I was thinking. No. See, why do you got to instigate? I have no filter. Filter?
I barely knew her.
Here's Tim Riley.
All right, so we're continuing to follow this story at the Johnson Space Center, where reportedly gunshots have rang out at the Johnson Space Center. So we'll keep you posted.
Hey, Jim, you might actually know the answer to this. Do you think, should we contact CNN? Is it Giuliano normally the guy who takes stuff in that part of the country? He does the Cape Canaveral stuff, I guess, usually. Should we, I mean, I actually don't know the answer to that. Do you suppose that we should, should we give them a call?
They may give you Ed McCarthy, who's probably the one on the story calling Houston and all that stuff.
All right.
So they say a gunman entered building number 44 at NASA, causing a mandatory evacuation. Some reports say shots were possibly fired at the Space Center. Building number 44 is an engineering facility there. Officials are asking parents not to come to a nearby school, so that's what's happening with that.
Well, if it looks like it is unfolding any further, maybe we'll do that. Hey, I'm going to be the first to note this, by the way. I'm going to make this observation, and we're going to make a prediction, because, as you know, we talk a lot about the media itself here, and we talk a lot about the media's patterns and how the media behaves, and we're pretty, I think, savvy about spotting things in the media before they happen. I'm telling you, I'm making this prediction right now. Within the next 6 weeks, I swear to God, this is true, I'm going to predict this. Within the next 6 weeks, you will see either a large newspaper article, a magazine article, or some sort of report somewhere, maybe on the web, MSNBC.com or one of those places. You will see a report, and it'll be a whole thing about what the hell is wrong with the third week in April. I swear to God, I'm predicting that right now. Somebody in the media right now is sitting at his desk, tapping his pencil on the counter, staring off into space, drinking a cup of coffee, wondering what he's going to fill his pages with this week. And they're going to write an article about, like, beware the Ides of April or something. And it's going to be about this week in history, which is Waco,
mm-hmm.
Columbine, this Virginia nutcase, Hitler's birthday, and there was something else, Ruby Ridge, I think. Or something else.
Yeah, today's the anniversary of Columbine.
Yeah, so there was, but I mean, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be, because the media loves to spot patterns in things. That's like that thing we all have to say now when two celebrities die, we have to go, well, who's going to be the third one? Because, you know, they always go in threes, and this is the thing the media loves to see patterns and to point them out. And I say that as part of the media. I guarantee you will see an article about that within the next 6 weeks, somebody asking about, and then I will tell you this, and I will also make this prediction. Next April,
at the beginning, like next April 14th or 15th, you'll start seeing newspaper articles come out about, like, what's going to happen this week? You know, what's going to happen this year in the third week of April? Because it is just a weird, just so many things seem to happen.
And all the bees are dying.
And all the bees are dying. Clyde. Why, let me ask you this, and maybe this is a question better asked of Clyde himself or even the Low.
For a Low.
Why, seriously, Clyde, why, I mean, in what
context... How did he get there?
In what context did Clyde describe a government death ray that...
He was talking about Katrina and how he thought it was, or he made reference to a theory that perhaps Katrina was government-caused... Because we can affect the weather with lasers. And maybe I'm getting this wrong, because I did have a few drinks.
That sounds like something Clyde would
say. But, Katrina was caused to wipe out the Creole population.
Right.
And that's how it turned into the death ray, eliminating the African American.
A death ray that only targets blacks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Clyde.
He can really make some leaps and connections. it really is amazing.
I have worked with that guy for 13 years. Trust me, these are all things I know. He really is.
It's fascinating to listen to him talk. It really is.
Because you can tell in his head, it's logically A to B to C to D. And then to outside of Clyde's head, it sounds like A to Q to F. To G, to like 5, to Z. Yeah, it just makes no sense if you're not in his head. All right.
I find him great. I think he's entertaining as well.
You bet. That is indisputable. that is undisputable that he is entertaining. Let me get a couple of these. Cheyenne. Hello, sir. Wait, are you
Rick?
Are you a man named Cheyenne?
That's number
yes.
two.
Yes, I am.
You're not the Cheyenne from the story, are you?
Say again?
Are you the same? Are you the man named Cheyenne?
From the story that died? No.
Okay. Oh, wait, no, I guess not, because that would be creepy.
Yeah, it would. No, I just wanted to call in and say that Tim was right. I overheard him mention something about someone with that name just seems like they should live in a trailer. Besides myself, I've only known one other Cheyenne besides the guy that you...
Besides the dead guy in Gresham.
Yeah, that guy, I don't know him. I never met him, but
I never met him.
Well, I grew up in a town that had me and one other kid that his dad liked my dad and named him after me.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks because I remember when I was about 15, I sat there and I told my dad that I wanted to pummel him and beat him with a shovel.
What?
Because growing up with the name just was terrible.
Oh, you mean not just pummel and not just for fun, but just because of the name.
Yeah,
that sounds reasonable.
I don't even go by Cheyenne. I just go by Shy. All my friends and everybody just calls me Shy. I figured I would call in and say, hey, one of your listeners is actually a man, and he's named Cheyenne.
That's okay. Well, I mean, you know, do you suppose that maybe he was hoping for a girl and that girl would be a stripper?
Maybe.
From Wyoming or something.
Yeah, sir. I mean, did he ever tell you where he got the name Cheyenne from?
I actually asked him, and he...
Well, it was none of his business.
he looked at me and went, I have no idea.
I was drunk.
That's the
and I was like...
answer.
You
I went in the poker game.
All right, God bless you, Shy, and thank you for making us feel for enlightening us. Yes,
you are a god.
Well,
I will keep listening, and I tell everybody about you guys.
God bless you, sir. You keep spreading the word. Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye.
There you go.
I think he tells people his name is Rick. As a matter of fact,
seriously,
Cheyenne have any children?
That was just a long and winding. I didn't know where we were going with that.
The Jackson
longest.
Hole. The other one's name.
Jackson Hole. TJ. Hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, man. I was...
You were at the party last night. I can already tell.
And you just got home moments ago.
Oh, man. That was the best party ever.
Yes.
Man, people came. They gave me lots of hugs and kisses, you know. There's a lot of love in the house, man. Everybody was crazy last night.
No, it was... all of those statements are true.
Yeah. Sarah and all the babes, they were cute and sassy.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Sarah specifically? Or
Sarah. All the babes, man. All the babes there. They were cute.
There's some really pretty girls there.
Yeah, weren't they? Yeah.
Very true. No, we have an attractive audience. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it really is true.
And Scotty, man, he was nice. I had a nice, sweet slow dance with him. Scotty J. Yeah. He was sweet.
Uh-huh. Where was Roop? Roop? We're dancing there.
Jim Roop is a doll.
Oh, that's very kind.
Was Scotty J endeavoring to impress you in any way? Was he?
No, he was very, what do you call him? He was not pretentious at all. He was very genuine. That's what made him adorable.
Scotty is approachable. He's just like you.
He was approachable. That's a good word.
So you two danced?
Yeah, we did.
Is there like room to do the foxtrot there?
The band. And everybody there was nice, man. Everybody was so sweet. My bones were vibrating from that rocking band. Sure. Emerson Starship?
Vibrating bones. Yes.
Yeah.
No.
God. I can't wait for the next party.
Oh, God. Let's not even use that phrase.
It'll be next week.
Yes.
wanted to give y'all a
every week
here.
So we're dead. All right. TJ, God bless you. Thank you for coming out.
I love you more, dear.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. There you go. That's TJ. Yeah, let's do one every 48 hours until we're all deceased. Oh, good God. All right. What are we doing?
Scott Daly's on the MySpace, so he better get his ass in here.
Seriously. All right. I just got to take a second.
Popcorn, 1976.
Artist? Tim Riley knows.
Class?
Yes, Tim.
Hot butter.
Well done.
Oh, there you go.
All right, there you go.
You can tell I'm old. I mean, at 37.
That's right. Did you? Yeah, we all shave years on the show, just so you know, Jimmy.
I'm 28.
You know what?
Good for you.
You know that kid there, Daniel, last night? Who said he's been listening to me since he was in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
10th grade. Is Jeff here? Did you see him?
No, but we should bring him to the
phone. He's going to come in as soon as he gets. He wasn't here. He's at the tower. He's going to come back as soon as he gets in the building. He's going to come in. This guy, Danny, was like, I've been listening to you since I was in 10th grade, man. You got me through high school, which is great, but which does make you feel old. Here he is. I have a listener named Casey, who I know has been listening to us since he was in, like, 9th grade, 10th grade, something like that. So it's great, but it'll make you feel a little old. All right, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We'll get more of these calls here in just a few. The reason, and Josh, I see you on hold. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere, please. You stay there. The reason I had to take a little moment and do the popcorn, take a little popcorn moment, as we call it, is because I see what you're calling about, and I have to kind of gird myself. I just have to sort of, it's nothing bad as such. I just have to sort of buckle myself in before we take your call, because it's just going to escalate my blood pressure, and then blah, 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 the whole thing. And I just feel like I'm just one step away from an embolism today anyway. So.
What seems to be the problem?
See, you say that, but then I can't tell you, because I don't want to get into it quite yet. I want to get this, talk to Jeff here. Something
more cheerful, perhaps?
No, well, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, AM 970 Chief Engineer Jeff McGinley. Hello, sir.
Hi.
How you doing
today? Hi, Jeff.
Hey, your voice sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. How,
he doesn't look like a happy camper today.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I've been in a fight. I'm sore. Well, I'm exhausted.
You spent the evening with Scotty J, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, that's why.
It was all of us up there in the booth.
I was going to say, so if you were listener party 10 last night, you saw up in the DJ booth, there was Scotty J, and then there was a bespectacled, goateed young man. So you were there helping with all the audio, all the video, helping keep Scotty in line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me ask, people want to know, the inquiring minds of the audience want to know, what is it like to work in a tiny enclosed space? Because we shove him down the hall in a booth where he can't see us or get at us.
Yeah.
What is it like to work in an enclosed space with Scotty for about 4 hours?
I started drinking whiskey about hour two straight.
And then here's the best thing, is the Emerson Starship goes on. And Barracuda had said to us, they're like, you know what, there's nothing else coming up, no other acts, no other bands, whatever, you can have the bar for the whole night. And so Emerson Starship had said, those guys love to play, and they're like, how long can our set be? And I'm like, dude, we got the bar all night. You play as long as you want. And when you tell those guys, when you tell the Emerson Starship guys that they can play as long as they want, they will play forever.
Yes.
And I don't think you really anticipated that.
No.
And so it's like they played and played and played, and they just kept freaking playing.
No, they were good.
I enjoyed it. I didn't have to do anything. I was just standing there. I mean, it was great. But I know at a certain point you come and you're like, how long are these guys going
to
play?
Well, they were using our PA, and Ryan and I really kind of just wanted to leave.
Yeah, I saw their set list. It was like 30 songs.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, they're not even close to being done. And you just kind of got this glassy eye sort of, you're like, all right. And then you just went and sat down at the bar and just started drinking again.
Like, we're going to do the Billboard Hot 100 for the past 20 years.
Exactly. Every song that has the word rock in the title or baby anywhere in the lyrics was on the set list. So you said you have a great Scotty J story.
Well, it's been a couple of months since you guys moved over here, and I've worked closely with Scotty J on a daily basis. And I haven't had a story like this of my own. I've heard everyone else's, including Scotty's friend that calls up. I can't remember his name.
I think his friend's John, who calls in a rat.
Exactly. Well, last night up in the DJ booth, there was a woman who just kept coming up and bringing drinks. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was his wife. I thought it was Mrs. J for the longest time. Until the very end of the night, right when Emerson Starship went on, at the very last point, she comes up and hands him another drink and stands there. He pulls out his wallet, pulls out some money. She gets down on her knees.
I like where this is going.
He shoves, not politely, but shoves the money into her cleavage. Just right down in it, shoves it in there.
Definitely
wasn't Mrs. J.
No. She gets up. She gets up, very happy, kisses him on cheek, runs off.
Oh.
So I'm standing behind this at the stairs, and I walk up, and I'm like,
is this a barmaid?
No. This was not an employee of Barracuda. This is somebody that hung back at the tables by the DJ booth all night. And so I walked
up to
Scotty.
You know who this person is, Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Part of Scotty's entourage.
The entourage. There were many of them that came up to the booth last night, too. So I walked up to him, and I said, is that your wife? Oh, no. That wasn't my wife. No. Okay, well, you just gave her a bunch of money. Yeah, well, she's been giving me drinks, so I had to tip her. Well, you tipped her in the...
In the bosoms.
In the bosoms. You threw it right down. Yeah? She's not your wife. No? Well, why would she let you do that? Well, and this is my Scotty moment, is he looked me dead in the eye, put his fist down, and louder than I ever anticipated, he said, I'm Scotty effing J, that's why.
Genius. Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, that's what they teach in the last year of broadcasting school before graduation.
Oh, good God almighty. Well, I think with that, all right. Well, with that, then I think that absolutely...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please.
The look on Scotty's face.
End of message.
Hi, Scotty. How you doing today?
Doing great, Rick. Never felt better.
You look like crap.
You look terrible, dude. You look so bad. You look awful.
Usually you can pull it together when you're hungover, but you look awful.
One of those nights, I guess.
Your eyes are all puffy. Let's count the ways in which Scotty looks bad. Your eyes are puffy. They're glassy.
His nose is red.
Yeah, your nose.
Oh, well, that's typical of
it's redder than
behavior,
it's
right?
Redder than normal. Yeah, you've got the full-on W.C. Fields nose.
Now, was he a drinker?
W.C. Fields? Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're... Your hair's all flat and listless. Yeah.
Not the best day.
You just kind of have this look on your face.
Good night, though. I tell you that. Good night.
Yeah. So.
Good.
So, what, did you hear Jeff's story?
I did. That
is that an accurate representation of the story?
Well, it was close.
Is there anything he got wrong?
It was actually a $50 bill.
Yeah. Is there anything?
Well, I said the Scotty effing J thing with a smile. So
of course.
I wasn't like that. I was with authority.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know how much money?
Scotty F and J.
Now, I saw this lady with the cleavage later on, and
I think
you know
she
how much
had
money
one of those tattoo
her?
Things.
She did on her boob.
How much money did you give her? Do you remember?
Yeah.
How much?
I'm thinking somewhere around the 40 range.
You gave her $40.
Yeah.
And so you gave her $40.
I paid my posse.
You gave
posse.
Yeah.
Right. What is?
Maybe we should get rid of the E and just
Your posse hangs around
one person. There's one person there.
Your posse.
Yeah. There's one person.
It's not the whole gang.
So the E constitutes the
A group, yeah.
Just let him go. Exactly. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, applications are now being accepted for more, obviously.
I got a college degree, by the way.
And a beautiful home in the suburbs.
Not really, right, so I don't really care.
Not a real college.
So is this the same woman that you paid to get drinks for you last time?
Yeah, it's my personal
Mrs. J was there. Why would Mrs. J was there. Was this woman getting drinks for Mrs. J as well?
That I don't know.
Did you introduce this woman to Mrs. J?
I did.
Really? And did they get along well?
I'm sure they did.
How did you introduce her? Did you introduce her as this is the woman?
I didn't really introduce her.
Cleavage, I shove money?
I kind of told her I'm busy and there's my wife and, you know, she knows my brother-in-law, so...
Now, was this a... where, spatially speaking, where was Mrs. J in the club as opposed to where this other woman was?
She came and found me on the opposite side of the bar after the...
That's not right. You just had two on ATM. Polar side opposites of the bar.
She vanished in the nick of time.
You just have ATM written on your forehead, don't you?
I think I do.
Yeah, fantastic.
So okay. Scotty's night didn't just end there, though, because his wife couldn't have told me.
It ended.
Couldn't have told me. So, you know, Scotty was still raring to go because he didn't start drinking until later on. So his wife decided to be nice and drop him and a couple of his buddies. Your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Off at a bar, thinking that they were going to stay there and drink the entire night. And they get there and have a drink, and Space is like, let's go to a movie bar. So they can stay out very late.
I was not impressed.
What?
What's wrong with you?
All right. All right.
Does your wife know that you went to a...
She probably does. She doesn't know.
Where does she think you went? Just to the bar? Just to hang out?
She's probably thinking we went
Crispy
to a
green donuts.
Late night church ceremony or something like that.
Okay. What time did you get home?
I'm thinking it's like 1 or 2, somewhere in that neighborhood.
You know, here's the thing. No one in radio is paid all that well. So the interesting thing is, it is a substantial amount of Mrs. J's income that goes into the cleavage of the woman who brings you drinks. It's really actually your wife's money being put into the woman's cleavage.
Thank you, honey.
Okay, I'm going to let you go now before you dig yourself in any deeper. Thank you. There you go. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Jeff McGinley, God bless you, sir. Thank you for all your help last night. All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's a fantastic
I don't think Jeff likes us anymore.
What? Jeff loves us. Can't get enough of us. All right.
We really need to break.
Okay, and then Josh, I see you right there. We're going to get you when we get back. We'll come back around the corner. We'll talk to Ed,
Ed McCarthy? What the hell are we doing?
Steve Kastenbaum.
Yeah.
No. We'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum, and we'll talk to Josh. Josh, hang tight. Your call is next. We'll talk to our good friend, The Low, who's on hold as well. More from Tim Riley, Jim Roop from CNN, Sarah Dillon, myself. We're all here. It's the day after listener party 10. You say they're back after this. Don't go anywhere. All right, now. Emerson Radio program is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll talk to CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. Rick, if Jim Roop is still there, which he is, he says, I just started on in the first hour of the podcast, so I don't know if you've read Roop my post about him on MySpace, but pleased to be letting him know, this is from Seamus, that he has fans even out here in Denver. I'm so glad you guys brought him to the party, even though I couldn't be there. The CNN people don't seem to get that we really are fans, and crazy, and drunk. Well, they know there's no doubt about that now. And the last part of that is certainly known. I hate to sound like I'm just sort of fishing for compliments. I'm really not, but I mean, did you have any notion of like how the crazed and great the audience is?
No,
I don't think you can see it. I'm sorry to just, but I don't think you knew how into you the audience really is, Jim. I remember telling you, like, hey, we're gonna have Jim Roop come out, or it's gonna be great. And I remember Jim was like, well, you know, I'm just this guy from CNN. I don't really know what you want me to do. And I'm like, dude, you just have to be there. All you have to do is be there, and the audience will love you.
Well, I wasn't ready for the reception. I really wasn't. But you know, I talked with Hyla this morning. You know, my direct supervisor,
yeah.
and I
I think it really is a combination of Lisa, Ed, me, and I just happen to be the guy that's there. So I really appreciate the, I guess, the love for CNN that your listeners have.
Well, it's because, I mean, especially those people who've been doing this, you know, they've been with the show for a while. You and Lisa comes to mind, and we've talked to Ed for a long time, too. You know, the audience, even Bob Costantini, in his way, has a certain chemistry with the... Thank you, Rick. I can't do it. I can't do Bob's voice. All right, I'm going to buckle down and take this phone call. It's going to irritate me, but I'm going to take this...
Is it going to irritate everyone?
Yeah, but, I mean, not at us. It's not that we did. I'm going to take this phone call from Josh. And here's the thing. I got an email about this morning, and then I just sort of put it out of my mind, but now there's a phone call.
You referenced it earlier?
I don't know.
You told me this morning, you're like, oh, I'll tell you about this thing.
Yeah,
I don't want it to throw off.
Exactly. I got an email about it, and now here's a phone call about it. So let's go ahead and take this.
Okay.
Josh. Josh, hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, best morning after show ever.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Were you at the party last night?
I was not able to make it, unfortunately. It's my wife and I's anniversary.
Oh, please. We've all got excuses.
You're the brother.
Yes, seriously. Yep. What better anniversary? First year is paper. Second year is wood. Third year is silver. Fourth year, Rick Emerson Listener Party.
That's good any year, though.
That's what I'm saying.
There you are.
All right. Well, what's up? John, go ahead and tell them. Hello.
Easy now.
Please not to be telling us what it says here on the screen. Go ahead and tell us your deal.
Well, just in my wife's car to go to work this morning, and she likes to listen to a different radio station than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a morning show. I don't know how anonymous you want me to leave.
Well, let's not identify it for now.
Okay.
Go ahead, and we'll just say another. We will say a morning show that is not part of the CBS radio family.
There you go.
All right.
They were talking about something, and then all of a sudden, kind of caught my ear. I kind of had it turned down and turned it up, and apparently. Someone had found some photos on the internet of someone that looked like their, I think it was their phone screener or something.
They had found a porn picture on the internet that looked just like the girl who works on the show with them.
Right.
Right? That's the deal.
Yeah, thanks for that last night, by the way, too, Rick.
Good times.
Can you just touch on that, sir? By the way, you're much prettier than the girl
much,
in the photos.
Much prettier than the porn girl.
Was this station The Fish, by any chance?
Yes, exactly. No, is there an idea? Here's another email from our friend Aram. He says, Rick, I was listening to another radio show this morning, and guess what? The host found a porno picture that looks just like his phone screener. So there you go. So that's, so there you go. So people, we played that thing at the beginning of the show. This is the Attention FM DJs. You know, your daily show prep begins now. And a lot of people think that we do that just to be dicks. It really is, I mean, I like to think that there's some humor there, but it also is accurate beyond words. Because that's the second time inside of 7 days that we've actually, I take it back, that's the third time. The other one we didn't mention. That's the third time we inside of 7 days had something directly lifted from this show and turn up on some FM jackhole idiot DJ show somewhere else in Portland. So, you know, it's always good. We're doing the work of like five stations here. So, you know, it's a miracle we can get through the day without collapsing from exhaustion.
They should send you money.
Dude, they say that imitation is the best form of flattery.
Yeah, but the good Lord says thou shalt not steal. So
that's true, too.
I'm sure. I'm just going to go drop off a box of Xerox paper at that station. Like, here you go. Here's your show prep for the next few days, a-holes. All right. Well, Josh, happy anniversary. We hope to see you at the next one, my friend.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All
right,
goodbye.
There you go. Yeah. It was another morning show. It was the darndest thing, Sarah. See, they found
That's
this picture
kooky.
On the internet, and it was a girl on a porno site, but she looked a lot like a girl who worked on the radio show.
What a great thing.
Oh, it kills me. Oh, they're geniuses. All right. We'll get more news from Tim Riley here in a moment. We're here with Jim Rubin. Got all these the emails to get through. Scott Daly. Did anybody see Scott hurling? Well, you guys were there. The Vanished Twin Photography guys, Aaron and Jason. Did you guys see Scott Daly hurling into a corner last night?
No, really? No, it's too bad.
It's photo number 52.
Hoping there'd be photographs of that.
No, seriously, dude,
part of the Scott Daly slideshow.
There were more... like sort of a time-lapse thing. Uh-huh. Like, each photo, he's bent over a little further, and the vomit is further out of his mouth.
Yeah, because I saw it on your MySpace profile, right? Because people keep referencing Scott throwing up in the corner.
I have seen
your comment.
Well, let me go there now. I actually have...
Maybe it's on Perez Hilton, so...
with like a little Coke line drawn onto his face. This is so nerve-wracking.
narcissistic, but let me go to my own MySpace page now and look, because I...
How might one get there?
See if it's MySpace.com/RickEverson.
All right. Let's all do that right now.
Oh, and of course, it just crashed my browser. Thanks.
Yeah, this got Tony and the Coves, thanks, five favorite guys. Moments. Number four, Scott of Film Theater Radio fame. Yeah, refunding his beer in the corner.
Genius. All right. Let's see. What are we doing here? Let's talk to our good friend, Lo, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, brother?
What's good, baby?
You sound fantastic.
Man, I tell you what. I got out of bed early this morning and soon realized the error of my ways.
This doesn't even sound like
I
you.
I hope he hasn't been hit by one of those laser beams.
Yes, seriously. You've been hit by one of Clyde's government death rays.
I think I'm under the race-specific attack.
Race-specific.
But I tell you one thing. I got a room with a coffee maker, a microwave, and a refrigerator, and episodes of, I don't know what it is, the mall's craziest... security guard chases or something, whatever they do on here.
Well, Brad,
so I'm not going anywhere.
Well, Brad the car guy wrote me and said, ask Salo about our 2 a.m. stop at the 7-Eleven by the Lloyd Center so he could get supplies for his scary hotel. Cops hanging at 7-Eleven reading magazines.
Yeah, we pull in, the cops in there chilling. When he, you know, of course he perked up when I walked in.
Of course.
And we're just grabbing stuff, and then all of a sudden I turned it into an entire grocery shopping trip because I was like, I'm not leaving the room, so I prepared well.
This is the best thing. Yesterday, you were hungover. Here's the thing. Yesterday was Thursday, so Wednesday night you were drinking as well. So you were hungover yesterday. On the way to Barracuda, Scotty and Lo and I all went in my car. We stopped. Lo's like, I got to stop at 7-Eleven to get some Alka-Seltzer for this hangover. And so he has to buy the Alka-Seltzer for like $9 at the 7-Eleven. And then he has to pay like $2 for the cup, even though he just wants the cup. And then, of course, the water is so cold, the Alka-Seltzer won't dissolve, so he's mashing the tablets like by hand, trying to get these. I'm so hungover.
Oh,
I can't even imagine. You sound exponentially hungover today.
I'm actually not in that bad a shape. I'm just a little, it's probably more fatigue than it is just the beat down of a hangover.
You don't feel bad because you're probably horizontal right now. Stand up.
Yeah, pretty much. Me and my bed are best friends right now.
Yeah, you didn't have to come in to be presentable and so forth.
No, not at all. But I did want to take a minute to say thanks to you personally, Rick,
mm-hmm.
and Sarah, and Mr. Roop for your lovely gesture last night. I appreciate that.
What was the lovely gesture?
I paid for dinner.
Oh, now, see, were you part of that, Lo? Were you part of that whole dinner thing?
Oh, yeah, man.
Now, see, I feel bad. No, I really
Why?
Do feel bad, because you shouldn't be paying for anything.
I offered to pick up the tab.
And I offered to pay Jim before that even came up.
Yeah, but he's out there. He's got coins on the table going, how much?
Well, no, I had a pocket with money in it, so I decided to not have short arms and deep pockets. And
all I know is when that bill was set down in front of me, no one made an effort to reach for it.
Oh, I didn't even see it. And then I saw you pull out. I'm like, oh, no, he's not going to have to pay, is he? So I actually decided that I would offer cash, but I don't think anyone else did. So
no, no one else did. I didn't accept it either. It was my pleasure to give back, babe.
But, yeah, I really appreciate that. And Tim, too, because Tim made it possible for me to be semi-antisocial at the listener party.
No one knows how to be more antisocial than I.
Tim has raised that to an art form. He's like an Olympiad.
I can teach that to anyone.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it was cool. So we hung out down there in the green room. And I want to give a quick shout out to Sadie, which Clyde introduced me to.
Yes.
And she was real cool, so we sat down there and had a nice long conversation. It was pretty cool.
No, it was a good time, and it was packed, and it was loud, and it was great, and it was one of those things where, like, you can sort of sense the next morning's pain on the horizon, but you don't really care at that time. You can sense the excruciating agony of the coming morning, but that's okay.
Yeah, as long as I could pass out pass out the rest of those CDs I had. I was trying to get rid of those things, so I had to take them back on the plane with me. So,
well, and you know what? As long as, I mean, Scott Daly seems to have set the bar for at least I'm not that guy.
I feel real good about my.
I mean, he didn't even make it to the bathroom, dude. The bathroom, if he's by the DJ booth, the bathroom's freaking 20 feet away.
Yeah, no, that's hilarious. And I'm going to bronze and frame my laminate, because that was the most incredible party ever.
It was,
man, I had a great time.
It was amazing. Well, if we don't see you before you take off to Vegas, thank you for coming out to see us. It is always a pleasure. The door is always open, my friend.
I really appreciate
it. Hey, I'm going to Vegas next month to cover the Country Music Awards. So,
well, somebody owes you dinner.
Make sure you, Rick, do you have my contact info?
I do. I'll pass it to Jim.
Yeah, make sure Jim gets it. And Jim, be sure you hook me up.
Oh, you know I will.
And I'll take you out and make sure you have a good time. And if for none other reason than I'm Scotty effing J, that's why.
Thank you, sir.
Right. There you go. From the low. God bless him.
All right. You know, it is. I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep interrupting.
No, I was just going to say this one final thing about the bathroom. And you were there, Jim, but to be honest, I'm pretty sure you don't remember most of this. It was later in the evening, and it's one of those things where you realize, you just realize sort of the end of you realize, you ever do this where you look up and you realize it's been 6 hours you haven't eaten, or you realize, God, I haven't had coffee, or it's been a while, I haven't, so much time has gone by and stuff is just, you haven't done. Well, sometimes I'll just sort of, you look up and I'll realize that it's been all day and I haven't bothered to eat or I haven't bothered to do whatever. And so it was around 10:30 last night. And I'm like, you know what? I've had to go to the bathroom for like 3 hours now. And there's always something I had to do.
I remember this.
Yeah, I'm going to go, like, damn it, I have a spare moment. I'm going to use the bathroom. I'm going to whiz. And so I go into the bathroom. Like, there was some brief window where I didn't have to, there wasn't doing, no band was coming up. There wasn't anything on stage or anything. I go into the bathroom. And I swear to God, and I'm not trying to work blue here, but I go into the bathroom. And I have.
You begin your business.
I have just begun the business. Standing at the urinal. Mm-hmm. Begun that act for
okay,
which I
can
have,
move on from that.
I'm just saying. And I swear to God, as I've begun the business, I hear this voice from about 10 feet behind me. Hey, Rick, can I get a picture? And there's a guy with a
cell phone camera.
And I mean.
Oh man.
And again, I'm not trying to be crude, but. In the midst of the business, I can't turn around and be like, get at it. What am I going to do? Turn around and start shooing him away with my hands?
Your umbrella.
We wag. Why? What do you mean, Jim?
Oh, I was just thinking of another video I saw.
Oh, I see.
You can shoot away with an umbrella.
I thought perhaps you were working at a crude double entendre.
I'm a bubble.
I'm standing in the urinal. I look. I'm trying to use the bathroom, and a guy comes in. He's like, "Rick, can I get a picture?" And I look, and you just see the phone. And I mean, what response do I have to say? I'm like, I don't even think I said no. I just think I said like, can it wait? You know, or whatever.
Yeah, you were very nice about it.
Because what are you going to do?
He wanted a picture, and it was too dark where he was, so he said, let's go over to where the bathroom is because the light's better. And I said, well, okay.
And I just happened to be
and
there.
And Rick just happens to go into the bathroom at that moment, and the guy goes, hey, I'm going to get a picture of Rick. I said, wait a minute, man.
You don't really know an awkward sensation until you have your pants, your zipper down and whatever, and a guy's there with a cell phone camera going, can I get a picture? So,
of what?
Good God almighty.
It worked out well, though.
It really is true. Yeah. I wasn't prepared for this call. Hold on a second. Let's all just take a second with the, let's go to our good friend, Andy.
Andy,
you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Okay, I was the guy with the, Scotty J is my designated driver shirt last night.
All right, there was a lot of, sort of homemade, bootlegs, self-done shirts last night, which were great.
I was pretty proud of it. Well, I saw him too, but I think I might have caused Scott Delkey to throw up.
Fantastic.
Kara, your friend, I guess, was, kind of dragging me and my friend Holly around last night, showing everybody my shirt because she thought it was cool too. So we're standing there talking to mailman Chris at their table, and Scott Daly was also there. And they introduced me to him, and I said, "Hey, it's nice to meet you." And then I went, "You're looking kind of green." And everybody there at that table is smoking cloves, these clove cigarettes.
Cloves will make you hurl too.
Yeah, he says, "Oh man, I'm so allergic to cloves." And I said, "Oh really? Well, this is my friend Holly." He gets up to introduce himself. And I said, "Oh yeah, by the way, she's smoking a clove too." At that point, he turns, walks to the wall, puts his hands on the wall, leans over the trash can, and just unloads.
Into a trash can, though.
Yeah.
Oh well, his credit.
Found a trash can. At least it wasn't. See, when they said in
the
corner
receptacle.
Yeah, I pictured it like literally just into the baseboard, just into the.
But he was there for like 10, 15 minutes, just unmoving.
He's probably hungry right now.
Just a chain hurl. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Oh, God.
Anyway, great night. Thanks.
Thank you, Andy. There you go. And into the number of cameras in that place. How can that not be on film so much? It angers me. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, God, I don't know. Let me just find an email here. Rick, something. All right. These words are all really small and hard to read. I'm just going to take another call. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
So I'm standing there last night with my camera, just scanning the crowd, looking for somebody to take a picture.
Minding your own business.
Exactly right. That's what I'm saying. And then I see Aaron, Geek in the City,
yes,
in that great Green Lantern shirt he was wearing, facing underneath, you know, the stairs in the front bar.
Right.
There's a garbage can sitting right there. Well, he's facing the garbage can, and I was just going to take a picture of the back of the shirt, because it's a great shirt.
Right.
And, well, right as my camera flashed, he turned around. I looked at the picture, and he's got his hands on his eyes, the whole area around his eyes bright red, just puffy, tears streaming down his face. I think he was barfing in the garbage can right as I took the picture.
Wait, hold on. So this is a separate barfing into the trash can incident.
Yeah, this is Aaron. This is Aaron Geek in the City, not Scott Dolly.
Barfing into a trash
can. Isn't this Scott's partner?
By partner, we should know, because they mean partners in radio.
Is that what we mean?
Well, who knows? I'm not a Rick Emerson Show doesn't judge. So you have a photo of Aaron vomiting?
No, it's just after. I mean, he might not have been, but
all right.
It just tears streaming down. It's a great picture. You'll love it.
Fantastic. I'm sure it's genius.
Oh yeah, I'll send it all to you.
Pass that along. All right, thank you.
Bye.
There you go. Joel, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
What's up?
I was sitting right next to Scott Dally, and I'm a sober witness to what happened with the events of the recycling of the beer.
This is good, because I want to get sort of a broad assessment of this, and then we'll compare it to his version of the event when he comes in.
Okay. Started out, I came in, and... excuse me, I'm a little nervous here, too.
That's okay, go ahead.
First meeting of the evening, it was all right. He was nice, jovial. It was good. We did the white guy handshake, which was, all messed up.
Right.
Then after a while, he was getting a little green, and he was just kind of sitting there, you know, being all right. He's, like, going around to do his mingling thing, and then the clove thing happened, where he got a big whiff of clove. And then he disappeared, and I'm like, where is he? I look around the big pillar, and he has, you know, he has the assumed position, hands on the wall.
Was it both hands, like, was it both hands being frisked by the cops style?
Yes.
Fantastic. Oh, excellent.
Yes.
What height garbage can are we talking about? The big, tall, industrial, yes, you know, big, round kind, or was it like a small sort of waste can?
Well, it was the taller rectangle ones.
Oh, rectangle. That's a hard target to hit, too. The big round one's a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah, and then after he came back, and he sat down, and he had his head down on the table for a bit.
Oh, man.
I got pictures of that.
Of him just slumped like a beaten man?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent.
I haven't sent any of those. I sent you a couple of pictures. I got him mid-cough earlier in the evening, which is a cool picture.
Pass those along, sir.
They should be in your email.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still not done. There's another puking that he did.
Another. Oh, wow. Wait, he puked again later?
Yeah, after he had his head down and he was not feeling all that great.
Yes.
I went to go take a picture of somewhere, and I came back, and there was this, it looked like somebody spilled a drink.
Oh.
But it wasn't a drink.
Are you telling me he then threw up at the table?
On my jacket.
On your jacket?
Man.
Scott Dally threw up on your clothing.
And it was clear, like, digestive juice kind of, that eats away, that eats through
digestive
the clothing.
Digestive juice?
Yeah, you want to get that dry clean. Get that modernized away stat,
that's
sir.
Worse than Clorox.
It's a leather jacket. It's all tough and stuff.
It'll
like
fade
that.
It, babe.
Yes.
Then he was escorted out.
Oh, now, that's the thing. Do we know whether he was kicked out of the bar or not?
I don't think he was more or less kicked out, more or less...
kicked out.
Dude, I think it's about that time.
He was a whole lot. It's time for you to get in your car and drive home, sir.
Yeah.
Throw up on your own upholstery.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so hold on. So we've got vomit into can, vomit into jacket, expelled from bar. These are all things we'll go over with him later on.
Wow.
Excellent.
What am I?
Joel? I'll send you some of the pictures of him, you know.
Please do.
I will.
Thank you, my friend.
No problem, Rick.
All right, there you go. That's Joel. All right. Oh, my God, it's 1:30 already. All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We got these calls here. We'll come back. We got some more calls. We'll get there. We got email. We're here with Jim Roop. We got the top five coming up. Scott Daly coming up. We'll return to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth here in just a few. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Gonna check her out. She's my latest attraction.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, great time last night. I went to ask Scotty J to play Blood Rock, DOA, and went back to my friends. One of them said, no way, I did too. 2 minutes later, Emerson Starship killed it. Yeah, Emerson Starship opened.
That was so rad.
How great was that last night? And we knew it was coming, but still... Because they told me, they're like, well, where do you want to put it in the set? Do you want to open the show with it? Do you want to open the set with it? Do you want to play it later on? And it was their idea to open their set with DOA by Blood Rock. And it was fantastic. They nailed it. Listen to this. He says, then we went to my father's place, which is a local bar. He said, we went to my father's place, then to my place, and my friend peed on the basement floor. Apparently, he didn't have time to go to the toilet. Thanks. Great party.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Scotty was expressing to me today that he actually had a moment of fear last night where he thought he was going to wet his pants.
Really?
Oh, man.
Oh, so he wasn't going to wet his pants out of anxiety, but literally just because...
Because he couldn't hold it anymore and couldn't make it to the bathroom.
Oh, come on, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to have him come in to explain it, but your version of his explanation is probably the only thing we need. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get more of these calls here in just a moment. He is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Yes, sir, there is a problem. Somebody's barricaded himself inside a NASA building there. And apparently it's a subcontractor. This is at the Johnson Space Center. They don't really do anything important at this building, like you can't sail a rocket ship and go to the moon or anything, or a space shuttle if you wanted to. Apparently they just do some communications work in there. And the man is described as a white man, the kind that usually causes these problems, 50 to 52 years old, sandy hair and glasses, gray shirt, blue jeans, no word on the color of his socks, apparently some midlife crisis type of thing. Security had a call earlier this afternoon and said there was a gunman inside the NASA Communication Engineering Building, second floor. The building has been evacuated and the perimeter has been set around the building, so this is away from all the other buildings, so he can't cause any harm. So he'll tire out and they'll get him eventually.
Well, I mean, it's just it's the same thing. These guys, they never think it through. These guys who go barricade themselves in a room. Well, Jim, you know this all the time. It's like, you know what it is? And you guys have both got experience with this because you both lived in L.A. Jim, you were, you know, still in L.A. It's like the car chase guys.
Mm-hmm.
They never have an exit strategy.
Now what?
Yeah, seriously. I'm going to get on the highway in this panel van, and KCAL is going to track me while I'm speeding.
Well, the best one was when they drove into the KTLA parking lot during the KTLA morning news one day, and the news people, Carlos Amesco, the news anchor, was just sitting there with his mouth hanging open. That's our parking lot.
The story came to us.
Yeah. That was a few years ago.
Yeah, they get on the highway and they just drive, thinking A, the cops don't have cars, the cameras don't exist, that they can't possibly be tracked. I mean, that's why it was so stunning when OJ did that. I mean, I would think that, you know,
that was terrific.
It really was terrific. The slow. I mean, at least he did it a little differently by making it a slow speech.
That was the original, really.
It really was. That was his own peculiar, unique twist.
He
on
put his own stamp on it.
He did. But, I mean, you would just, I mean, you'd think they would have just figured out by now. It's like the exploding dye pack inside the money. You'd think everybody would have gotten the memo by now.
It doesn't work.
So well, you're talking about an element of intelligence that is not the highest.
Criminals are stupid.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know whether stupidity causes crime or crime causes stupidity, but criminals are not.
There's a correlation somewhere.
No, it's true. Yeah. I mean, I have talked to more cops in my life that say that they don't catch anybody by being smart most of the time. The reason they catch people is because criminals are just goddamn idiots, and that's it. 80% of the time, some guy that's chopped up a co-ed and has her in the trunk of his car gets pulled over because he has a burned out brake light. That's it.
Or they're chasing somebody, and the guy jumps a fence into a backyard.
Well, if you jump a fence into a backyard, it's an enclosed environment.
Totally.
Yeah. I'll barricade myself in this room, because that'll work out well. Because then I can use my secret atomic teleporter to just send myself to Venus.
I'll dig my way out.
All right. So anyway, so there's a guy, a white man in a room with a gun.
Yeah.
He'll be dealt with appropriately.
And some people said shots are fired, some people didn't say they were.
So all right.
What are you going to do?
Rick, this email says, let's see. Hey, those roller derby girls were hot last night. One of them punched me in the face. it was cool to see Jim Roop from CNN there. Damn, he looks like Tim Allen in Galaxy Quest talking to a room full of fanboys.
Totally.
I can totally see
that. Wow, yeah, you do look like Tim Allen a bit.
Yeah, I can see that, especially like in that Galaxy Quest scene where he's just, you know, it's just a television show, okay? Let's see. Please be posting the picture.
I just continue to disappoint, don't I?
No, not at all. No, the furthest thing from it. Have you seen Galaxy Quest?
Yes.
It's that whole thing where, you know, you continue to be, yeah, do we have the...
this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the quasars in the moon, remember you...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but we were wondering if the quantum flux...
There is no quantum flux. No auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
All right, I'm going to watch that this weekend. I'm going to go home and watch Galaxy Quest tonight.
That is such a great movie.
I love that movie. It's fantastic. And you can, if you want, you can get it subtitled in Thermian. there's an option in the DVD to watch it in Thermian. But yeah, that he's just, you know, that you just clearly were just so, I hate to keep coming back to this point, but it's on film though. And Lisa, the same thing. We're getting ahead of ourselves here and we'll get into the news, but one of the great moments last night, not the best, but there were many of those, but one of the great moments when you came out and then the crowd spontaneously,
No,
I sound like a Thermian.
No. Are you going to help us?
You came out in the crowd, you spontaneously started going, Roop, 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 which is great. And you clearly just had no idea what to expect when you walked out of the stage, and then that just, you know, really was like you were Elvis. And then we filmed this video that we're going to send to Lisa Goddard, sort of a greeting to her. Because, I don't think she grasps how much the Portland audience digs her. So she'll get that too. So it's
it was a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They're a fantastic and unstable crowd. It's true. You're Tim Riley.
Incredibly humbling too.
No, it's, I'm with you on that.
They're great people.
Meanwhile, a 15-year-old Clackamas High School student has been arrested after saying he was going to blow things up.
Okay,
happened today.
Commenting on that recent story that we're not talking about today because everyone's worn out from it, telling other students he could have done a much better job. And they also found what is believed to be bomb ingredients on the team. Let's go to the Medford State Prison, shall we?
can we please?
Where the inmates there have flooded the facility with sewage. Clogged pipes and water were left running yesterday.
That's just jail's stupid.
There's a reason why they're doing this.
Okay.
Apparently, the inmates clog the toilets so that the pipes drain so they can shout messages to the other inmates.
But you're covered in poo. What message are you going to shout? I stink!
Well, they're used to that because the warden throws blankets into the flooding to contain it. And apparently these blankets will have to be destroyed and the area will have to be sanitized, whatever that might mean to a jail.
That really is cutting off your nose to spite your face. You can't quite get your message to the guy in the next cell, so you decide to flood your cell with feces. I believe that's over. That's over-solving the problem. All right.
Well, let's talk about American Idol, Sanjay was finally voted off.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My timing is off today. I keep stepping in.
Go right ahead.
I was going to ask if you were in the crowd when Sanjay got voted off.
Yeah, I covered that.
The people cheered. At the crushing of a dream.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure if they were cheering because finally America got smart, or they're cheering because he's still their hero,
I guess,
kind of thing. It was hard to determine.
It was so great when they're like, and to this week's loser, Sanjaya. And then suddenly everybody cheered. It was so weird to listen to.
Yeah, he started crying. Come on, dude.
Oh, he cried?
Wake up.
Yeah. That's kind of sad. Not really.
You had a heck of a ride, sir. Enjoy it.
So meanwhile, this young fellow named Sanjaya, whatever you want to call it, was on the Tonight Show. That's some program with David Letterman that nobody watches. And he discussed how he's taking his defeat.
My butt's
down. Oh, I'm doing a lot better than I thought I'd be.
Yeah? I mean, were you surprised?
When I saw the show on Tuesday, I kind of thought I was going home.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I'm not a country singer. Yeah. I've never been a country singer. But, I mean, I had fun. Yeah. And that's all that really matters.
I've never heard him speak either.
Is that a man or a woman?
I just was going to say the same thing. I've only heard him sing. I've never heard him speak. Is that his speaking voice?
That's the way he talks, yeah.
And that's not just because he's 17.
No.
He is just a guy with really high voice.
That's
Sanjaya, the man.
And he has facial hair, so puberty has come on.
He's almost 18.
It's just it missed his vocal cords.
That's another reason why the girls
like Wayne Newton.
Yes, exactly.
Like
he's a modern-day Wayne Newton.
Or Michael Jackson. He's got that little thing going
on,
too.
You know, but that Michael Jackson thing is a put-on.
Yeah, I know. I've heard him.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that, didn't we, during the Jackson trial?
Now, I didn't know that you had actually heard him, though. We had the creepiest story one time.
And I want to hear it again.
They said, it was your greatest hits today. The creepiest story, they said that if you talk to Michael Jackson sometimes when he's not, like, in character, that instead of the whole, like, hi, my name's Michael Jackson, you talk to him and he's like, hi, I'm Michael Jackson. And he's just got the big, deep black man's voice.
Well, it's not that deep, but it is definitely a regular pitch.
Is it unnerving? To hear Michael Jackson speak in a regular voice?
Yeah.
You may not have, I'm sorry, we'll have to, but that's, I'm going to have to cue something else. But that's another reason why girls must like Sanjaya, because he just seems so frail and delicate. Girls love there's two types of guy, in my experience, that girls love. Guys who are big and burly and covered in tattoos, who look like they just got out of prison, or just going into prison, or guys who are just thin and frail and wafy and very feminine. And he definitely falls into that latter category. I mean, absolutely. That's totally another reason. Can you play that Sanjaya cut again?
With pleasure.
Pleasure.
How do you feel about it, Leslie? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better than I thought I'd be.
Yeah? I mean, were you surprised?
When I saw the show on Tuesday, I kind of thought I was going home.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I'm not a country singer.
Yeah.
I've never been a country singer. But, I mean, I had fun. Yeah. And that's all that really matters.
That's not a guy.
It totally
is. No, it is not.
That's him. That is definitely him.
It's just weird.
I got more.
That's really unnerving.
Let's hear more.
He says he knows the real reason people voted him off.
I think a lot of people like my spirit and like that I am positive and that don't let all the negative junk get me down.
He says the toughest part of being kicked off is leaving his friends behind.
I felt like I was being ripped away from my family, honestly, because all the contestants have become my family, so that was the hardest part about that.
No one cares. Here's Michael Jackson. This is just for Jim Roop.
He put the little round up. It was delicious.
I love that. I never get tired of that. Do I have the one where he's talking about floating balls in the air?
Balls up into the air.
All right. I don't know. I had something about... I used to have a Michael Jackson cut where he was saying something like, this will be our little secret. Wait, is that what this is? Hold on, what is this?
But how do you share the greatest secret in the world?
No, it's not that one. Let me see. Let me try one more here.
So what do you do with something as wild as this weird, squashy little guy with a head shaped like an eggplant?
I don't even know what that's about. I don't even know what that would mean.
A weird, squishy little guy with a head like an eggplant?
Yes, I don't even...
That's obviously a reference to E.T.
Yes, I don't even... I don't even really know. I don't really know what that's about. Okay, fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
And because Jim Roop is here, he's missing all these California stories, so I'm going to have to read them today. The city of La Quinta, California, is holding a catfish derby starting tonight. Excuse me?
La Quinta.
Is that like the motel?
Yeah.
Well, they're celebrating the city's 25th anniversary. The derby starts at 10 o'clock at Lake Cachula.
Is that Lake Chihuahua?
Is it, what is it, a catfish what?
A catfish derby.
What do you do at a catfish derby?
I asked him, assuming that he'll know.
I could go there and report. If you'd like.
Could you please?
Can you ask CBS to buy me a ticket to cover the catfish derby?
Can I see that?
Certainly.
Have you covered that one before?
Oh, no, no.
Maybe you can send that British lady to cover that.
They say, yeah, send Rebecca to cover that.
No, what was her name? It's not Rebecca. I keep
Rachel.
Rachel, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I think that happened before.
Yeah, that's why I called her Rebecca. I think I've done that twice. Where I'll end the call with, let's thank you, Rebecca.
Did she answer to it?
You know, she doesn't really seem to like me, so it's okay. She doesn't cotton to my type of humor.
Nah, she's British.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You know who else doesn't really seem to get me is that Amanda Moyer girl.
You only talked to her twice.
Yeah, but you know what?
She's very serious.
Amanda? Yeah, no, totally. I try to sort of play with her a little bit where it's like, but I describe it as like tossing a half full basketball onto a gymnasium floor. Amanda, so blah, 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 blah. Hilarious Rick Emerson punchline. Ball just hits the floor and stays there. And she just kind of goes, uh-huh. And then she moves on, just totally ignores all my... And I use all my A material on her, too. Doesn't work.
Well, she's still relatively new at this, and so she's probably focused on her information and not really hearing what you're saying.
Well, and she's doing that. She's clinging to all that journalistic integrity that we have to beat out of people.
That'll end soon.
Yeah, no, it's true. She'll be jaded. That'll be stripped away. All right.
Well, probably at the BBC, she read a book before bedtime.
And now the Meredith's forecast.
Totally.
And now, an hour of snootiness. Let's see. Okay, well, let's get a couple of these calls, and then we'll do another story, and then we'll take a break here.
Well, that does sound like fun.
Let's see. Oh, this is, okay, this is, hi, Kara, how are you today?
Hello.
Well, Kara, you weren't there last night.
Listen, it's the sound of someone who wasn't drinking.
Oh, no, I didn't at all.
No.
Thank you very much to Boba Fett who offered, but no, I didn't.
No, it's, all right, what's today, Kara?
Oh, there's a few things. One, I really feel bad that perhaps Scott Daly, Aaron and I might have contributed to that. Aaron persuaded me to go over and give Scott a hard time. So we went over and he could barely lift his head up. And we started talking about omelets and runny eggs and other things that might be fun to throw up. And he just couldn't even look at it.
Who wants some raw pork?
Kind of sad. And then with your bathroom story, I was thinking, you know, I'm good friends with Trixie, Scotty's special friend.
This is the girl who receives money in her bosom.
Her name is Trixie?
Apparently. Yes. I believe that's the name we're giving her on the air.
Yes. And I think she would agree with me that it would be kind of cool to put up, say, $400 or $500 of Scotty's money to challenge the audience to try to get pictures of Rick when he's in the bathroom.
It was the most awkward thing, too. And I realized later that it was totally harmless, that the guy just needed a well-lit room because his camera didn't have a flash. But usually, you're there unbuttoning your pants.
Your advantage.
You're there unbuttoning your pants, and immediately you guys like, hey, let me get a photograph. And you're like, and then you just sort of, I'm in no position to wave you out of the room, sir.
Well, to his credit, he didn't flash that picture.
No.
That's too bad.
No, we... No,
thank you for your support.
No, it's true.
The other thing I wanted to point out, I had an eye on Trixie and Scotty pretty much the whole time, and I really wanted to clear his name because he not at any time did he put any of his two Chris $20 bills into her clothing. He gave her a couple of hugs, but then again, so did several other people.
Well, that
is true.
He didn't jam his hand all the way down in between.
No, not in the least.
Okay. Bam.
And she also did not meet Mrs. J because she was a little afraid of a beatdown.
So Scotty lied?
The distance. No, I don't think he. I don't think he knew because he was distracted up in the DJ booth, and I did hear him tell her, "Oh, that's my wife over there." You know, show her that little sticker; she'll get a kick out of it.
Yes.
But he didn't seem afraid.
It's called drunkenness. He was too busy trying not to wet his pants, apparently. So.
Yes, and I do believe Trixie wasn't necessarily hanging around the DJ booth because Scotty's wife was hanging around the DJ booth, and again, the concern. She did visit multiple times, see if he needed anything, brought him a very, very stiff drink that Boba Fett bought for him.
Scotty,
in efforts to lube the machine.
Seriously, by the end of the night, Scotty could barely lift his head up. I saw the guy, he was sitting at a table, it was like his spine had turned to spaghetti. So.
Yeah, and I verbally slapped him before I got on hold.
for going out other places and actually paying a cab company, sorry, Gante, to drive him around when, you know, he had a number.
Well, I'll just take, you know, the fact that he's not reeking of urine, you know, that we'll take that as our payment. All right, thank you, sister.
That was it. Thank you. Great time. It was awesome.
Thank you. It was great to see you. There you go. All right. 503-733-2970. Tim Riley?
So, Jim Roop just lent me his blueberry. And it's a blackberry. I'm sorry. Oh, it just went off, Jim. What do I do? I was going to read something off the screen. Oh, okay. So, from Alec Guinness's website.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Guinness. Well, I got Alec Guinness's website.
I'm dead, Luke.
Well, I got, at least it's not Howard K. Smith's website. It's,
see, and you've done it again where you said Howard K. Smith and not Howard K. Stern.
Mm-hmm. I'm having trouble with who's here with us and who.
Well, this is from, would you like to take a second? Why don't you just take a second?
I inhaled too much cigarette smoke last night.
Let's pause and reset.
Okay.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
All right. So, from Alec Baldwin's website.
Tim is trying to read the screen of a BlackBerry. Where is the...
I'm going to start reading.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll get a quick... Thank you to everyone who has posted messages of support and understanding. Naturally, it is not best for a parent to lose their temper with their child. Everyone who knows me privately knows that I have endured a great deal over the past years in my custody. How do I go down here, Jim?
There you go.
In my custody.
Tim is just staring at the BlackBerry blankly, trying to read it.
I can't find my place.
In my custody.
Custody litigation. Everyone who knows me privately knows that certain people will go to any lengths to embarrass me and disrupt my relationship. And then I turn this wheel with my daughter. In such publications, your opponents attempt to take a picture of you on the worst day, like they tried to do to you last night, and insist that it is you as a person. Outside the doors of divorce court, I have friends. I have respect from people I work with, and I have a normal relationship with my daughter. All of that is threatening whenever one enters a courtroom. Although I have been told by numerous people not to worry too much, as all their parents lose their patience with their kids, I am most saddened that this was released to the media because of what it does to a child. I am sorry, as anyone who knows me is aware, for losing my temper with my child. I have been driven to the edge by parental alienation for many years now. You have to go through this to understand. Although I hope you never do. I am sorry for what has happened. I am equally sorry that a court order was violated, which was deliberately... Oh, put under seal in this case.
See, he's doing that thing. He's doing that thing that divorce
once
guys...
Once my book is published...
Oh, really?
I'm sure more people understand the incredible strains created by parental alienation.
He's taking offense by this episode. He's doing that thing that divorce guys do, though, where he is addressing one issue and then has to find a chance to bitch about his divorce or his ex-wife at some point in a conversation. This is. I'll just play you just the little end of this here.
And I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me. So I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
A father's love.
Yeah, that doesn't alienate your child.
No, sir. Maybe you could say that was a message from the gardener. Take care of the cat.
I'm sure that the court will be more inclined to let you spend a lot of time alone unsupervised with her. Jesus God Almighty.
Mr. Baldwin, you've explained it very well on your website, so you are free to go.
Seriously.
Oh, good God. All right. Let's see. Rick. Aaron is almost exactly how I imagined him to be, except he didn't have long, greasy hair. The Green Lantern shirt was a nice touch, though. By the way, Clyde Lewis is a happy drunk. I could have done without him mistaking me for his girlfriend, though. What was that all about?
Uh-oh.
This is from a man.
From a man.
This is totally from a guy.
Did Clyde have a girlfriend?
The guy. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know that either.
I believe Clyde has any number of women that he spends time with. I don't know if any of them are named Stephen, which this guy is.
Okay.
Let's see. Rick, first I want to thank you for the fantastic show last night. Oh, this is the guy who found me on the sidewalk. Handed me a cell phone and said, yell at my girlfriend for not being here.
What were you doing on the sidewalk?
I was just stepping outside. First, I just had to get, you know.
Oh, you weren't on the sidewalk.
I was laying on the sidewalk. I was vomiting.
You were standing outside.
Trying not to pee myself. He said, I want to know you. I want you to know I appreciate you talking to my girlfriend outside on the phone and explaining exactly why she sucked for not being at the show. Cheers. At least someone can stand up to her. That's Phil. Let's see. What else do we have here? I'm just kind of sorting through these as we go. Rick, criminy, I feel all left out now. Am I the only person that came that didn't end up horking into a trash can? At least I met Jim Roop. That's part of the experience. You know, and it really is drunk.
That'll make you throw up.
No, it's, yeah. Let's see. I don't even know what we're doing here. All right. Well, let's get it. Hi, sir. You have a comment on the Scott Daly story.
Yeah, actually what happened was while he was horking at the table, the bouncer looked over at me and said, hey, you got to get this guy out of here. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I patted him on the back. I'm like, come on, Scott, we got to go outside. Let's get some air. He finished what he was doing. He walks outside with me, got his arm around me, and he barked on my shoes.
Oh, man. Wait, so you are the second person. That's the third incident of puking he engaged in, and you're the second person whose clothing he puked on.
Well, yeah. Then, after that, you know, the thing that made it all worthwhile, the thing that made it really just stand out, was the fact that I did go over with Jim and Clyde and Below and the car guy, Brad, and I had every intention of paying for my dinner, okay? And, you know, I got the video camera out there, Clyde's talking, I've got the night vision going on the video camera, and I ended up with, like, this Parasite Hilton-type video of Clyde and Jim talking about Condoleezza Rice and the lasers that shoot out of her eyeballs.
Yeah, that's another thing. He's a pretty interesting guy.
Oh, y'all, you're the cab guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
So, the lasers shooting out of Condoleezza's eyes, you know, controlling the storms and all of that. I got it all on video. It's good stuff.
Good.
But I wanted to say thank you to you, Jim.
You're more than welcome.
Dude, I owe you a dinner.
Nobody owes me anything.
No, seriously.
I like it they say that knowing you're flying back to L.A. and they'll never have to pay up on that.
Nope. When I get down to L.A., you're on the list and...
Spago.
Yeah. You know, I'll do it.
Yes. That's all right.
We'll write it down on the planner right now.
Just zero...
Pepe Mormont.
Yeah, totally. You take me to the Brown Derby. All right.
Had a great time and, thanks, Scott.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks,
right.
Jim.
There you go. Thank you.
No reason to thank me.
No. All right. Rick, I may have a picture of Scott Daly with his head on a table just as he's about to be escorted out by security. If I'm able to capture it, I will be sure to send it to you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Do we have to break?
Yes.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. I feel as though I've been beaten with hammers.
Oh, God. All right, back
one
after
more.
This.
Thank you. More of Tim Riley around the corner. Jim Roop, Scott Daly. Ping, you stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Yummy, congrats.
All right. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Sorry, lackluster. Did that sound like I was just sort of...
Sounds like Dennis Miller's first day.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm looking at the clock. They tell me I got 14 more minutes.
This is a lot more trouble than I thought it was. It's fine now, though.
Yeah. I guess I'll just riff on a few things and rifle through the journal. Talk to Giuliani. Be home by poolside. All right, 503-733-2970. Rick, I'm still drunk, says this email. Thanks, says Steve. I had a blast last night. Putting a face to Jim Roop's voice was great. Scotty J told me he has a folder that has all my emails in it, which is creepy. Other than that, this is from Steve. He says, other than that,
I thought it might be from Mrs. J.
No.
Yes.
Why would Scotty have a folder that has all of this guy's emails in it? Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Not my concern. Rick, let's see. Here's a video clip. Oh, apparently it's already on the YouTube.
Yeah, don't look at it, though, because it's profanity-laced.
Rick, here. Okay, here's a video clip of you doing your 10 push-ups. I just wish I had a video of Jim Roop. Oh, thanks for that, by the way.
What happened? I was helping you.
I do my 10 push-ups.
I thought I was helping you out, man.
I didn't even make it all the way through. I stopped like a girl to get a breather halfway through.
It was really sad.
And then Roop just drops, and like, I kept waiting for you to do like the Jack Palance thing of like the one-arm. You do like 25 like you're a T-1000.
I thought I was helping you out, man.
By making me look like a girl?
Oh, I thought I was helping you out. I'm sorry. Jeez, I didn't mean that. Holy crap. Forgive me.
I'm stone cold sober last night and can barely get through 10. You're like as drunk as 15 Frenchmen, and you get down to like bam, 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 and knock out like 25 push-ups.
Yeah, it was 40. Somebody put their fist down there to make sure I hit the floor, too.
The love of God Almighty. All right. Oh, my head hurts. All right, let's welcome...
I'm sorry to hear anybody.
Thank you. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Hi, Scott Daly from FilmTheaterRadio.com. How are you doing, brother? I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Feeling a little foggy this morning.
Your teeth all gritty?
No, I brushed them.
My stomach is empty
this morning. Stomach is... Well, I had a nice business and gravy from the Doug Fur this morning.
Oh, why do you gotta say that?
That's really gross.
Oh, no, it's good. Good, your bacon.
I went to the Hotcake House last night.
That doesn't say much with your food.
I had chicken strips, and I had chicken strips there because of orange juice last night.
Oh.
And Joni had like half a pound of bacon.
Yeah.
I just thought that...
let it go.
Okay.
Sometimes things fall out of my mouth and it's too late to put them back in.
Speaking of things falling out of your mouth.
Thanks for the segue, Cam. Beautiful.
So, how many times do you remember throwing up last night?
Do I remember? First of all, I want to apologize. I feel like I'm here. All right. First of all,
get used to it.
First of all, Joel. Buddy, sorry about your jacket, dude. I'm glad it was leather.
So you did throw up on Joel's jacket.
Yes, I did.
You'll be dropping off some Febreze at the end of the day.
Did you throw up on Dante's shoes?
I don't remember that, but apparently I did. Dante, thanks for dragging my drunk ass out of the bar last night.
Those are big shoes to fill.
And I do vaguely remember hearing the guys at Barracuda saying, this guy's got to go.
And he thought he was talking about Scotty.
Well, you remember a lot of detail.
I don't know.
I'm surprised. Where was your wife?
She was very smartly at home. She's been to one Emerson listener party about to never go again.
That was enough.
So, yeah,
good time.
Yeah. And I want to thank Aaron and the lovely Jen for letting me crash at their place last night, which we had already prearranged, so I knew that was happening.
I bet they love that.
Oh, it was
they had newspaper actually, spread everywhere.
He slept with the cats in the garage. I was very. I said, Jen, you are a trooper for lugging Aaron and myself home on the bus.
On the mat.
Oh my God.
Wait, I guess the total tally of my vomiting was 4 times. Because
you threw up on the train.
No, but when we stopped.
What kind of a writer
stops,
are you?
One of the stops
he's
we
a
came
typical
to,
writer.
One of the stops we came to, we stopped. I was like, I gotta get off, guys. I gotta get off. And sure enough, I stepped off the next.
Your passenger is vomiting.
Oh, God.
I have never, ever, ever done that before. Never in public or anywhere.
You had to rush off the max and throw up.
I felt like Dr. Gonzo. The fear hit me hard last night.
Oh, my God.
The fear hit me hard.
What time did you wake up this morning?
Like at 8.
How did you feel?
I felt good.
Really?
Yeah,
well, of course, you got anything out of your system.
Yeah, everything was out of my system. I was still a little foggy, but had went to bed with a big cup of water and
What were you drinking?
I was drinking my usual Jack and Coke and a couple beers, but that, I mean, normally, mostly it was Jack and Coke, and
I can handle my booze pretty good.
Yeah.
I swear, Jim Roop, I swear I can.
Well, everybody else apparently handled it too last night.
So I want to apologize to Joel for your jacket. Dante, you were a trooper, man. Thanks for holding me up.
Are you listening to yourself?
Yes.
I want to apologize to Joel for your jacket, Dante for your shoes.
I want to thank
people outside with the wastebasket, the people on the train.
I want to thank
the janitor that's cleaning it up right now.
Yeah, totally. Guys, it's Barracuda.
Scraping it up.
I'm never sitting in front of your bar again. Not because I didn't like the place, because I just don't want to face that again. I want to thank Debbie for Clyde's friend Debbie for kind of helping me out there for a little bit.
She is maternal.
She is very
hot
maternal.
Maternal.
And
a little Spanish girl with a bag of sawdust.
Yes, it's true.
Oh God, but oh man, I'm so bummed that the push-ups that you did last night were a result of the commentary that we did in February for Film Fever Radio, and I feel bad that I was able to miss it.
You weren't even there to see me do the push-ups.
My head was on the table. So at that point, I think I heard one of the bartenders say, "Hey, he can't sleep here."
And the mea culpa continues.
Oh my God, that's genius.
Mea culpa for a good week and a half. I'm not drinking for a good month right now.
Oh,
I'm laying off of stuff. I'm
that's
serious.
The best story I've ever heard.
I'm glad I could help.
Oh my God!
But seriously, it was a really, really great time last night.
Well,
we had a lot of fun.
Until
about 9:45, it was fantastic.
Oh, dude,
9:45, that was still like smack in the middle.
I know. I think I actually hit the pillow at 11 last night.
Wow, man!
And Jim, I want to thank you for giving a few moments to Film Fever Radio last night. You're going to be on our show this weekend,
so thank you
for that.
Send the checks too.
Oh yeah, no, you're getting the money.
Wait, and you were so you were recording a show last night?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we both had our Film Fever Radio mobile studios and walked around and talked to people in the audience.
Oh, God, what is that going to sound like?
It sounded really good, actually. We listened to it this morning, and Aaron's putting it together right now for the show this weekend, and it sounds pretty good.
All right.
Those little iPod microphones are fantastic.
Let's do this. I want to, because you are here ostensibly to film. Do you have anything to review?
We actually had a screening last night of Hot Fuzz.
Really?
But we chose to come to the Emerson Park.
Oh, God bless you, because that's the new Shaun of the Dead
thing. I can't wait to see that, so we're going to see it this weekend. But that
well,
was...
real quickly, we go to a break here. We'll come back. More of Tim Riley, Jim Roop, Scott Daly. Real quickly here, because Scotty has been, and I will plead ignorance on this right now. I will tell you right now that I don't know anything about this. Scotty has been all over me about the Salem Film Festival and this Air Guitar Nation film that I guess is playing.
I heard about the film, and I really want to see it, and I just found out 10 minutes ago that this is playing at the Salem Film Festival, which I had no idea there was one. So,
real quickly, before we go to a break here, hi, Alexandria.
Yeah.
Hi. How are you? So I'm a blank slate. I am a tabula rasa, as they say. Tell me all I need to know about Air Guitar Nation and the Salem Film Festival.
Well, we're playing at 8:30 on Saturday night at the historic Elsinore Theater. Air Guitar Nation is a film. It's a documentary about the beginning of the U.S. Air Guitar Championships and the World Air Guitar Championships that have been going on in Oulu, Finland for about 10 years.
Right.
And it's basically you got to go in with an open mind and just be willing to rock and be willing to just express yourself. We're going to be doing a competition at Lefty's at 3:00 for kids and adults. Anybody wants to come and try a little competitive air guitar. And then we're also going to be doing an karaoke night after the screening at Lefty's for the late night rocker who wants to come out and just have a good time.
Fantastic. And then, so this is part of the film the Salem Film Festival.
Yeah, the Salem Film Festival. I think it's a very new festival. It's they're very excited about having us. They've brought like some world class air guitarists are coming in to show their stuff.
I love this.
And they're taking the film on full heartedly. And I think it's going to be a great festival. I'm really looking forward to it. It starts tonight.
If people want to find out more about that, where do they go? What do they do?
I think there's probably a just type in Salem Film Festival. I don't know the official website. But if you Google it, I'm sure you can find out all about it. I know that they're going to be doing a lot of stuff at the Elsinore Theater, and that's where we're going to be playing on Saturday night.
Excellent. All right. Alexandria, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
There you go. Thank you. That's Alexander. Yeah, I know. Scotty was all over me wanting to do it. I wanted to talk about that. All right, thank you. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, a guy just sent me the bathroom picture. The picture he took of you and
you and me posing with him in the bathroom. There it is right there. There is a lot of light in there. Boy, you look drunk. He looks even drunker, and I look kind of retarded. So.
Oh, I need to see this.
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's the best photo ever.
Yeah,
503-733-2970. Yes?
In my email this morning, I got a photo sent to me from Joel. That was not very flattering.
Was it
up
the jacket? Was it a picture of your vomit?
No. It was me with my mouth wide open. I don't know what I was doing, talking or something, but
that wasn't talking.
Just driving that porcelain bus.
This email says, Rick,
that
you got
the intermission.
You got to have Jim Roop autograph the Freeway DVD. I think, that's in my house, unfortunately.
That's right, you're in
the
Freeway. I should have brought my copy.
Yeah, it's sitting on top of my
DVD. Oh, did you ever watch that?
No. Oh. It's sitting on top of my DVD. I keep meaning to watch it, and then it's like, I've been so busy with this party and everything, so maybe I'll do it this weekend. Thanks for a great time. Tim is fantastic. Sarah's even prettier in person, so there you go.
No. I said that yesterday, didn't I, sir? Before I started drinking, I said, I got to say this
before I started drinking.
Because if I was drunk saying it, it would come out very weird.
You're so pretty.
You're very beautiful.
You're fantastic.
I was hedging my bet there.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll go through these phone calls. We'll talk to Scott Daly and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. It's Twisted Sister. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. This email says, is it me or does Jim Roop seem like a real professional doing push-ups while drunk? He must always be training constantly. I picture him sitting at home drinking vodka and doing push-ups all day long. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth for some breaking news.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, we have something live going on here in Houston. Apparently, a disgruntled employee who works at the Johnson Space Center subcontractor, a very angry white man, entered the building, or was in it, rather, with a gun. And we have reports of shots that rang out. And he's around 50 years old. He is employed by Jacobs Engineering out of Tennessee. And we're going to go to a live press conference here, courtesy of KPRC in Houston. In just a moment here, we will take the live feed on the press conference, so hopefully this is over. This is at building 44, so here we go.
Tried to communicate with him?
Yes, our negotiators have tried to communicate, both at the close level, but they've been unsuccessful so far.
The heavy equipment that's brought in, what is that for?
The heavy equipment are going to be our command post.
So this is he in there by himself, do we know?
Yes, sir.
Right. Right. So there's some guy, some bitter.
He's 50 years old.
Some nutcase in a room with
and
a gun.
And he's white.
Yeah.
And
so he has a lot to be upset about.
Staff's going to work at it as they go about trying to bring a successful resolution.
Captain, how large of an area have you blocked off at this point?
Well, right now our focus is the building because we believe the suspect's in the building, but obviously the immediate area around it. We do have armored vehicles here as well as other equipment that might be called upon, but not necessarily because we'll have to use it.
Captain, did you guys ask NASA to release the employees on campus here early today?
I'm sorry.
Did you guys ask NASA to release the rest of the employees early today?
No, I think that was a question that NASA. Eileen, why don't you address that?
This is Eileen Hawley from Johnson Space
Center. We did initially issue a communication to our employees to let them know what was going on site. In the initial communication that went out, we advised them to shelter in place until we had a firm understanding of the situation. By email. We sent email out through a variety of mechanisms that we have. In addition, our human resource representatives called.
There's really nothing going on.
No, it's kind of boring, actually. And it's Texas, and once those people lose their temper, it's going to be like Waco. They're going to bring their tractors in and collapse the building of factories.
Jen Arena out of retirement.
All going to go up in smoke, so I think we know what the ending to this is going to be.
Nuke it from orbit.
It's not like these are understanding people.
What is the deal with this week in history?
Oh,
there you are.
We've been talking about it all day.
There you go.
Jim Roop, you heard my prediction earlier.
I
was saying it's only a matter of time until somebody writes, oh, what is the deal with the third week of April?
This is insane.
And next third and insane. Next 2008, third 2008, as soon as we get towards April 15th or whatever it is, third week of April, there's going to be a bunch of media, but like, what's it going to be this year?
And Houston police have just confirmed shots were fired at the Johnson Space.
So this guy's holed up in this room by himself with a gun.
Apparently so, yeah. Really, they ought to just have like a Janet Reno or just a huge robot that looks like her that just goes in and just raises everything.
You know.
That'd be great.
Seriously, I mean, just a Reno Bot 5000 that goes in and just destroys everything and breathes fire out of its nostrils.
That's not bad.
All right.
Laser eyeballs. All right.
Okay. So here's what we got. I got the story about a donkey.
Sweet.
I got these
that
two.
Sounds heartwarming.
I got these two competitors for the worst story in the history of the world, but I think I'll put those off till Monday and I get these phone calls. How about this? Rick, I emailed earlier about my drunken Max ride home. I left early because I was on the urge of Jackson Pollocking the floor of Barracuda myself. I got on the scary and urine-smelling Skidmore Fountain Max stop. I was zoned out and feeling ill, and the incessant natter of a teenage girl drove me to seek a new seat at the back of the train. I recognized Aaron getting on with a lady and what appeared to be a red-eyed homeless man.
Oh, God.
I must have just missed Mr. Daly's very personal littering of TriMet property. A red-eyed homeless man. Well done, Scott Daly.
So sad.
Thank you.
Good times. All right, Tim Riley will return at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Greatest newsman ever.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim Riley. God bless you, sir. God bless
you. Have a good trip home, Mr. Roop.
Thank you very much.
Tim, thanks for your words of wisdom on our show last night.
What were they?
I don't know. They sounded good, though.
They were wise. Fantastic. All right, let's go through some calls here. We'll just go through these top to bottom. Our good friend Kristen in accounting. Hey, sister.
Hi, kids.
What's up with you? How are you feeling, Jen?
Well, you know, the funny thing is I can certainly sympathize with Scott because I had a similar experience. I think it was the first listener party at Barracuda, although I did have the good sense to go outside before...
I couldn't walk. I felt the fear coming, and my legs literally did not move.
Well, the thing with me is, you know, and it was still early on in the party. I missed most of it. For me, it's my personal party, which shall remain nameless, because I was sitting out in front of Barracuda, and I didn't want to mess up the sidewalk for him. So I chose to do that on my lap.
Oh.
I was trying to be, you know...
What were you wearing?
I was wearing a Rick Emerson T-shirt.
Way to
throw yourself on a hand grenade.
In hindsight, I should have saved because I could have donated that to your display last night. The funny thing is, I had to stay relatively sober because I ended up having to. I had promised a friend I would drive her to the airport.
Right.
So I kind of bailed, I think I was gone. I was in and out in under 45 minutes to the airport and back. So I missed the push-ups, which really bums me out.
Yeah, Jim did like 1,000 push-ups. Shame me.
And let me just make this note, Rick. You don't need Jim Roop doing 25 push-ups to make you look like a girl.
Thank you. Thank you.
Zing.
Badass. Thank you, Kristen.
That was my one bad decision last night, I guess.
No, it was great. I mean, it made you look fantastic. I mean, it just made me look like a puss. That's okay. Dimitri,
that's
hello,
not
sir.
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to add on the party last night.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Dimitri.
Man, that was a fun night.
It was great. It really was. It was fantastic.
It was the strangest thing. In the middle of the show, it was like people just started handing me drinks.
Really?
Yeah, like it's mandatory that everybody has to be drinking. Like, here, have a drink. Okay.
You are without a drink. You are to have this now.
Cool. He didn't take them.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know nothing about it. Well, thank you for being...
Say it again.
Yeah. All right, we're just going to move on from that. Thank you. 503-733-2970. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Oh, Rick, how you doing?
Well, better than some, not as good as others.
I have no voice. I had too much fun yelling.
Dude, you're in tatters.
Yeah, I sound worse than I feel. It was a great night. Scott Daly, how you doing?
Hey, man, what's going on?
I remember going back to the table and I asked, I don't know if it was Joel, but I'm like, where's Scott? Someone goes, well, he's in the corner, he's on the floor, he's over there, and I was like, oh, okay.
His DNA is over here.
Yeah, and here. He had a pretty rough night. It was fun. And
I think,
you know,
I think there was a combination of two things. One, we kind of pre-funked a little bit of Dante's.
Yeah, Dante's was... Shall we go over what happened to Dante?
No, we should not.
Let's go over what happened.
What happened to Dante?
It was a simple... All right. Mailman Chris, Boba Fett Chris, Aaron and myself and Diana were talking about Chris being a mailman working for the feds. If they claim workman's comp, that, you know, they've got a spy on them, you know,
right,
making sure they're not...
It's the real deal. Right.
And I mentioned something about being followed by a spook.
Spook.
I'm just saying, dude, that's the way it came out.
This is 2007.
But I meant a CIA.
Oh, we all knew what he meant.
Line three.
we knew what he meant, but instantly Aaron and I just both went, "You can't say that."
it was just bad.
And it was great because I went down there. I was like, I got to get dinner. Went to the Thirsty Lion. I'm sitting there and I'm looking. And right in the corner, kind of propped up against the wall, like he just couldn't stand very much longer, was the... And he was getting food in there, and I was just like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I just need some food so I can make it through the night.
Oh, the low, he was like, I got to cushion this alcohol with something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the second thing is, I didn't eat anything last night.
Good for you. Well done.
I know. And I should have gotten a slice from Dante's before he came over, but I just didn't think
about it. Oh, good pizza there.
And Sarah, it was very nice to meet Raul.
Oh, yes. He was there.
Well, now can we ask what his thoughts on... Your quasi-boyfriend, the guy you were sort of seeing, was there last night. Now, this is his first... Thank you, Chris, by the way. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks,
hold that voice when it covers. Let's see. When he referred to the low getting food, I thought that was code for something. I thought that was new slang. Like when you're getting like
getting some food,
dude.
Yeah.
Like when you're getting faced. I thought he was getting food. Boy, he was totally drunk. He was in there getting food all night. So your quasi boyfriend, the guy you're seeing, this is his first listener party experience.
Yes, he's never seen me and been my element.
And he wasn't really a listener before he met you, right?
No, he has a... Yeah, he knows a lot of people who are listeners.
So was it weird for him? Was it like a little strange?
I think so. It was definitely bizarre. I don't know, because he missed the beginning video, which kind of disappointed me. But I don't think he really realized how listener parties work.
Right.
So, I mean, I told him we're playing at the beginning, but then he said a line. He's like, oh, they'll just, you know, it just didn't make any sense to him. Then he got there and he said it was, he stayed the whole time.
Yeah, but he was looking like this the whole time.
Sort of strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is weird. We have weird lives.
It's weird. You know, it's totally weird. It's if you're not really prepared for it.
And there's no way to prepare them for it. I'm like, I don't. You're just gonna have to see. I don't really know what to say.
They really can't be described.
Yeah,
that is true.
It must be experience.
Let's see, Sherry. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Actually, not much. Had a great time.
Well, so see, not much is said by somebody who hasn't spent the morning chain puking, taking aspirin, lying to their boss.
In my defense, I screamed a lot. I didn't puke because I only had 3 Coors Lights, and I had a job interview this morning, and I stayed out actually later than I intended to.
Yeah.
I had an awesome time. Those guys wouldn't stop playing, and they were amazing.
Emerson Starship, one of the best bands ever. They are fan-freaking-tastic.
My voice is going in and out now.
Well, we're glad you dug it. We're glad you had a great time. Glad you were able to function this morning.
Oh, yeah, I was. And also, it was great getting to meet Jim Roop and the Low.
No, totally.
Never met him before.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
No doubt.
All right, thank you, Sherry.
I'll talk to you further later, I promise.
Thank you, Sherry.
No problem.
All right, thank you. All right. This email says, Rick, Jim Roop sounds fan-effing-tastic, natural to show, so understatedly professional and natural, his very presence marks a milestone in all things Emersonian.
So there you go.
Goodness gracious.
Listen to that.
That's quite a compliment.
Totally agree.
All right, let's take a break. Take a break here. We'll come back. People just keep calling.
The lines keep on lighting up.
We'll come back. Scott Daly is here. Jim Roop. We'll have a few more of your phone calls and stuff. Like us at 3. Don and Mike at 7.
He's on his way out, man.
Right. I'm sorry. My brain is just fading. My brain is just...
He's coming around the far turn.
Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. All right, let's all buckle down and get through this final segment, shall we?
You can do it.
We now enter the saddest, except for today, segment of the Rick Emerson Show. I'm not even saying it right. You know, the whole thing where I say this is the broadcast day and we're all sad and whatever. In 7 minutes, the closing music is going to start.
We can all go
home. We can all go home. I can't go home, but at least...
Really?
At least I won't be having to use my vocal cords for a while. All right. It's 503-733-2970 here with Scott Daly and Jim Roop from CNN. And so we'll do kind of your final thoughts here just a second. But we want to say thank you for coming out. It means a whole lot to us that you would come up for our dumbasses, my friend.
It means a lot to me. And more so now than it did when I was first asked to come.
Well, because I think when you asked to come, it's not that you didn't want to. It's just it was sort of mystifying.
I didn't know why. Yeah.
It was like I think you asked us that about 8 different times. You're like, okay, but why? Why do you want me to come up?
Do you see why now?
Do you see last night? Did that answer your question?
People love you.
That's very nice.
All right. So, Scotty J, hello, sir.
How's it going, Rick?
How are you today, Scotty?
Hi, Scotty.
How are you feeling?
Jumps right in, doesn't he?
Felt better. I mean, it's the best day ever.
I wonder,
I'm not.
All right. Sorry.
Ooh, that's bad.
So bad.
Yeah.
The new one.
All right.
I just thought of that.
They're all jumping. Hey, Scotty. Scotty, turn off your headphones for a second. Do you have what news have you for me?
I have some news, actually.
Oh.
It looks like this Alice Cooper thing, this interview, is going to take place May 4th around 2:20 to 2:30.
Is that true, really?
And I'm thirsty.
You always do this. You always lead up, and then your punchlines are always weak.
An hour ago, Scotty telling me I'm not drinking ever again.
Yes.
You're right.
May 4th. So May 4th. This is Alice Cooper, and Jim, you should know just a little backstory.
I know who Alice Cooper is.
I'm aware of it. I'm just saying that is 2 weeks from today. I am among the world's largest Alice Cooper fans. I am a massive, huge, it's impossible to overstate what an Alice Cooper fan I am. So that's 2 weeks from today.
Right.
2 weeks from today, actually, at around, 20 minutes ago or so, I will be talking to Alice Cooper. How confident are you?
That'd be exciting.
I am about 95% sure this is going to be.
On the phone or in studio?
On the phone. But when are we going to know for sure?
Right. We're going to know for sure next week because today's Friday. And because they're Eastern time.
Sure.
So.
Excellent. God bless. Okay, if you do that, it is a bottle of whatever you want.
Right.
So, all right.
I'll probably
drink
it.
Thank you.
Let's milk our last few minutes with Jim.
All right. And Scotty, you can just stay here.
Sure.
Jeff, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, thanks for the great party. I want to give a shout out to my designated driver who went down the wrong way on Highway 14. I want to thank her for that.
No, thank you, sir.
I got pictures of Scott Daly. We didn't know who he was. But we were just standing behind him and taking pictures with the passed out guy.
Oh, my God.
Badass. Excellent.
And there's one where he's standing up. It looks like he has a mouthful of spew, and there's puke on his shirt, and you can see the people around him, like, escorting him out.
Genius.
Be sure to tell CNN all about that part. Okay. All right. God bless you.
We'll put that on the CNN website.
Oh, thanks. Pass those our way, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Right. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's see. Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, we were there, my wife and I, last night. By default, I guess, would be what you could say. We weren't necessarily planning on attending. We wanted to, but the last minute we got called over there to Portland to jump my daughter's car. The battery was dead, and so then we're heading back, and I thought, back to Vancouver.
Why not stop in on that Rick Emerson thing?
What?
Never mind. So you, but you, it says here, it says, damn, that was one hell of a party.
That's quite a luau that you throw there, Rick.
A shindig, a hootenanny.
Yeah, that's right. And for a couple of geezers like the two of us, it was fun.
Well, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. We'll hope to see you at another one.
And I have to tell you this. My wife and I were looking at Scotty up there in the booth doing his thing. And, you know, I got to tell you, I think the guy bears a striking resemblance to Brad Pitt.
Okay. And we're done. All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Bye, Pat. Goodbye now. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Have fun storming the castle.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Well, let's just take, I don't know that we'll have time for any more calls, so let's just take a few minutes here. So we'll just go around the room. So, Scotty, Jay, all kidding aside, great job last night. The people didn't hate you.
Rick, thank you, first of all, but... I don't think enough people have stepped back to say thanks to you. No, I'm not being all sappy and stuff, but you're actually a very talented guy, and you put on one hell of a party, and I'm very impressed. So I haven't said that in a year, and I want you to know that, I enjoy being a part of your team here.
Well, Scotty, we're all kidding aside, we're glad to have you. We really do. You make the show. You do all kinds of stuff off the air that people don't even know about. You all kinds of behind the scenes things that people don't even really appreciate. So we thank you for being part of the show and for helping us out and for, you know, the show has really, you really were the finals and kind of missing piece of the puzzle. Seriously. You really do help the show in a lot of ways that people don't even really realize.
Well, thank
you. And you did a great job last night. So thank you, Scotty.
Appreciate it.
Jim Roop. I mean, what can we say? Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, from CNN.
Woo!
Came to see us.
You know, I think from almost the beginning, I got the show. I mean, I get the show. But, last night, I got the show. Well, and I really appreciate it. And I did say on the air, or maybe I didn't say on the air, but I did say thank you and to you and how impressed I was about everything. So, thank you.
Well, thank you for coming up, and we hope to do it again sometime. And we're glad the audience gets it because the audience is a big part of what makes the show the show. You know, it's not just it's a combination of, I mean, obviously, you know, we're the ones who sit in here and talk every day, but it's a combination of us and the audience, you know, so it's a thing. So, thank you, Jim Roop.
Thank you very much.
Scott Daly, thank you for being there.
Thank you, sir. It was a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a long time for me to live this down, but it was good time.
And
I want to thank everyone for your help.
And you know what? We want to thank again Northside Ford, Coors Light, Everybody's Garden Center, Taboo Adult Video, Ecopedia, the Rose City Rollers, Barracuda, Emerson Starship, Hit Me Baby, Dave Zinn, the gatekeeper, and all y'all. So thank you. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone for AM970 Solid State Radio. The newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J is the PA, the gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Like us next. We'll see you Monday, my friends. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down, and please try to help the retarded. And we thank everybody who came last night. Without a doubt, undisputably, undeniably, best audience ever. Have a good weekend. Be safe. We'll see you Monday.